Before we begin today's show, really quickly, I just wanted to tell you that even though I was so geared up for UFC 247, as you know, I was still keeping my eye on the NBA trade deadline last week. What a time it was. So many trades, so much excitement. That's why I made sure to listen to my guy, Zach Lowe, because he and ESPN's entire team of NBA insiders were all over the deadline. And they helped keep me up to date with everything going on during a very busy week. So if you love basketball as much as I do, then I strongly suggest you listen and subscribe to the Low Post podcast wherever you get your podcasts. But for now, here's today's show, which, as always, contains language that may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ariel Helwani's MMA Show!
Back in your life on this Monday, February 10th, 2020. Hello again, everyone. Hope you're doing well. Maria Helwani, thank you so very much for joining us on another Monday afternoon here from our beautiful Bristol, Connecticut studios. Boy, do we have a lot to talk about on this Monday. You know, sometimes after a big show and the travel and the Sunday back home and all that stuff, a little tired on a Monday. I was amped up to get in here. I was amped up to talk about Saturday night, UFC 247. I was amped up to talk about, of course, the main event. As you know by now, John Jones is still the UFC light heavyweight champion. You know that he defeated Dominic Reyes via unanimous decision. You know that it was somewhat controversial. Depending on how you viewed the fight, it's a lot controversial. It's a little controversial. It's kind of in between. Some are calling it a robbery. I'm not subscribing to that notion, but as I've said time and again, I do think that Dominic Reyes deserved to win that fight. Top of the show, I'm going to talk to you about that fight and about the scoring and about all the controversy surrounding it and about where we go from here and what we could possibly do. And, you know, for some of you newer fans out there, I just want you to know this is a pretty common thing in our sport. And it's not because the sport is corrupt and it's not because the sport has, you know, massive issues that need to be rectified. It's because, you know, we're using a model that, to be honest, isn't for mixed martial arts. We're using a scoring system, the 10-point must system that was for many, many years, decades, a boxing model. And when MMA became a thing here in North America, they decided to institute that model for scoring MMA fights. And there's different criteria, of course, but at the end of the day, this will continue to happen as long as this scoring system is in place for our sport. And so I want you to know that this isn't the first time I've started a Monday show after a somewhat controversial main event talking about the need to change and what could be done and what should have happened on Saturday and all that stuff and more. And guess what? It's going to happen again and again and again and again until something drastic happens. I don't see that happening anytime soon. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but I just think it's going to take moving heaven and hell to make that happen in this sport where you have so much fragmentation among the other commissioners and the commissions and the states and the jurisdictions. It's going to take a lot. But hey, I'm a glass half empty kind of guy. You want to be a glass half full kind of guy? More power to you. I respect that. Now, let me tell you about today's show, and then I'll give you some thoughts, because I have many thoughts on what transpired Saturday night. Later in the program, we're going to be joined by the Korean zombie, Chan Sung Jung. You'll recall last week on the show, Alexander Volkanovsky talked about some of the things that Zombie had to say about him. And since then, Zombie has gone on Instagram, and he's gone on Twitter. In fact, he tweeted me on Thursday, and that was his first tweet in about 2.5 years. I was very honored. Now, was he the one who wrote the tweet? That's neither here nor there. I was happy to be the guy who he tweeted to. I was honored to be that guy. And so it seems like he wants Volkanovski. It seems like he wants that title shot. Love the line from Dan Ige on Saturday night where he said, you know, he's known for taking people's souls, so why doesn't he fight a soulless fighter, if you will, the zombie? Love that. And a great performance from Dan against Mirsad Bektic, but I don't think that that's what Zombie wants right now. So we'll talk to Zombie. In fact, in the 11-plus year history of this program, I do believe this is the first time that he's ever on the show. So this is a big deal. Jan Blachowicz has a huge fight coming up in 5 days, main event of UFC Rio Rancho in New Mexico. And this is the UFC's first trip to Rio Rancho, second trip to New Mexico, first time since 2014. Their very first trip, Zuffa's first trip to Rio Rancho, February of 2008. WEC 32, headlined by Carlos Condit versus Carlo Prater. How about that? And Jamie Varner won the lightweight title, the WC lightweight title against Razor Rob McCullough. How about that? Saw the poster when I went to Jackson Wink 2 weeks ago, and I was reminded that they've been to Rio Rancho. Not the UFC, but Zuffa, parent company of the UFC, also owned WC back then. And that was a great card, and so this is their first time back since then. 12 years later, Jan Blachowicz against Corey Anderson. And I love when they do this. I love when there's a title fight at 205 or any other division, and then the next show is about the same weight class, right? Headliners are in the same weight class, top contenders. And so it seems like for this entire week, we'll talk about 205. And I like that. There's so many events when they're all fragmented, when they're all over the place, all over the divisions, it's hard to get into a flow. This is great. I don't know if they did it on purpose, but I love that they did it. So big fight for Jan. We'll talk to him about that. Diego Sanchez is on that card. He fights Michel Pajeda. He's been in the news, had that 3 month suspension retroactive via USADA. He's cleared to fight. He's fighting Pajeda. Big fight for him on Saturday in his home state. We'll talk to him at 3 o'clock. Mike Winklejohn was in John Jones's corner, a longtime head coach from Jackson Wink MMA Academy. And it was him. It was Greg Jackson. It was Brandon Gibson. So he was in his corner. We'll get his thoughts on what happened Saturday night between John Jones and Dominic Reyes. We'll talk to Dominic Reyes at 220 about the loss, about where he goes from here, about how he's feeling. He handled that loss so incredibly well. So impressed with the way in which he handled that loss. And I talk about this so much, and I know some of you probably get annoyed of it, but it is, to me, so admirable to see the way in which these athletes conduct themselves on the biggest of stages when the spotlight is the brightest after a loss, and not just any loss, a heartbreaking loss. You know, someone told me in the airport yesterday, I saw someone who works for the UFC, and they told me, you know, saw Dominic and told him, you know, your stock is up and, you know, you're going to be back and don't worry. You know, everything's going to work out for you and whatnot. And I appreciate that sentiment. And I don't believe for a second that that person wasn't genuine. But remember, when Alexander Gustafsson, the relatively unknown Alexander Gustafsson, fought John Jones at UFC 165 in 2013, it took him 3.5 years to get an immediate rematch. I wouldn't even call it immediate. A rematch, right? It took him 3.5 years. And that was razor thin as well. Now, I thought John won that fight back in 2013, but this idea that you're going to be back, no, that's not a thing. That probably doesn't make him feel very good, right? This idea that, oh, it's going to be okay, that doesn't put money in your bank account. That doesn't change your life. Robbed or not, if you lose the fight, there's no guarantee that you're getting that rematch because it's not in your contract. And you can fight someone else and you can slip on a banana peel and you can lose that next fight and who knows what can happen. Or John moves away to the heavyweight, who knows? And so I get the sentiment, but man, my heart breaks for Dominic Reyes. Valentina Shevchenko will join us at 2 o'clock. What a victory for her against Caitlin Chookagian on Saturday. Once again, proving that she's one of the best fighters on the planet, period, regardless of gender. Such a joy to watch her fight. And she is just so vicious in there, so technical, so impressive. That was a real treat. That was the co-main event. First fight on the main card was Derek Lewis against Aleo Latifi. We'll talk to Derek Lewis, Houston's own, the birthday boy, about that win. Some people thought Latifi won. And then how about James Krause with his big opportunity against Trevin Giles? Took the fight on 20 hours notice. And of course, it was supposed to be Antonio Arroyo against Giles. Arroyo was sick after the weigh-ins, had cramping, drank too much water, 3 gallons of water, I was told. Call upon James Krause on a 4-fight winning streak to move up to 185, loses the fight, but a valiant effort, and I want to talk to him about that. But let's talk a little more about what happened on Saturday. And let me get a few, you know, pet peeves out of the way right off the bat. Number one, I just want to say this because I keep seeing it. Even after I said it on the post-fight show, I keep seeing it. To be the champion, to win the belt in a title fight, you don't have to, quote unquote, beat the champion. And what I mean by that is no one is scoring a fight, or no one should be scoring a fight with the thought in mind, did the challenger do enough to, quote unquote, beat the champion, to take the belt away from the champion? That's not how it works. Technically, when we walk into the fight, there is no champion. It's up for grabs. And so when you're sitting down there after round one, you don't say to yourself, did he do enough to beat the champion? No, that's wrong. And if you are thinking that, if you believe in that, you should never judge a fight ever again. You have no business doing this job. And I get it. Judging is thankless. No one talks about you when it's a good fight, when it's an easy fight to score, when there's no controversy, no one talks about you. But when it's controversial, when it's a big fight with big stakes, when it's close, when it's a quote-unquote robbery, everyone's talking about you. And I get that. And to be honest, they don't get paid a lot. Like, this is a very tough job. I get that. But if you are sitting down and thinking to yourself, did he do enough to beat the champion? You're not doing your job. That's not a judging criteria. That doesn't exist. And I hear that time and again, people saying he didn't do enough to beat the champion. That makes no sense. That's not how it works. Sit down, 10-9, 10-8, 10-7, move on to the next. Now, another one, the championship rounds. Did he do enough in the championship rounds? That doesn't exist as well. Round 5 means just as much as round 1. A home run in the bottom of the 9th to tie the game means just as much at the end of the day as an RBI single in the first inning. You get what I'm saying? A big shot in the 4th quarter is still 2 points, much like that layup in the first quarter. You don't get extra points for what you did in the 4th and 5th round. So I hear from people, championship medal, and, you know, he rose to the occasion, and he didn't pour it on in the championship rounds in the 4th and 5th. No, that doesn't count. This isn't pride. We're not scoring the fight on the whole in totality. That's not the way this works. You have to look each round, who did, and we could get into the actual criteria, but who did better in that round? You give that guy 10-9. Now, if there's a 10-8 that's justified, great. If there's a 10-7, which is a unicorn, tremendous. But no one's getting extra points for 4th and 5th. If you're a judge who does this, and I would be shocked if there is a judge who does this, you should not be doing that job. The other one that bothers me is when I hear from people say, like, I can't believe that was a unanimous decision. That had to have been a split. What? That makes no sense. You realize that makes no sense, right? No one is sitting there, like, dissenting among each other. Unanimous decision just means that everyone, like, you can't predict a split decision. You can't predict that sort of thing. That makes no sense. That means you don't understand what is going on here. There are 3 judges cage side, and they each have to score each round. And at the end of the fight, if it's a 25-minute fight, 5-round fight, or a 15-3-round fight, they add them all up. And that's how it goes. Unfortunately, on Saturday, in my opinion, the right guy did not win the fight. Now, on Saturday, when I'm watching it live in the arena, it's one thing. You're there. There's a lot of other things going on, totally different from watching it at home. So I did say on the air on Saturday that I thought Dominic Reyes won 3-2. I thought he won the first round, I thought he won the second round, and I thought he won the 3rd round. And then I thought John Jones did a great job in the 4th and 5th rounds. 3-2. That's how I scored it. All 10 nines across the board. So what's that? 48-47, right? And so I went home last night and I watched it again. I wanted to know if I got it right. Now, I understand that the judges don't have that luxury. I totally get that. I want to acknowledge that. But hey, I have that power because I'm going to sit here and talk about this fight. So I wanted to know if I got it right. Well, guess what? I watched it again, and I feel more confident about that scorecard right now than I did Saturday night. I feel more confident after watching it on television that Dominic Reyes won round 1, round 2, round 3. John Jones won round 4, round 5. And I see a lot of people saying, boy, you really hate John Jones. Boy, you're really pouring it on. This isn't personal. This is not personal. This is our job. I don't hate John Jones. John Jones was kind enough to give me a sit-down interview like 10 days ago in Albuquerque. He didn't have to do that. I have nothing against John Jones. In fact, I wish him the best. He's good for us. It's good when John Jones is doing well. And it's been an absolute pleasure and honor to cover his career through the ups and through the downs. It's not personal. I have no rooting interest in this. So stop it with that nonsense. In the end, calling it like I see it. First 3 rounds were Dominic Reyes's. First round was one of the easiest rounds to score. 1st and 5th, right? No controversy there. I can't believe 2 of the 3 judges gave the 2nd round to Dominic Reyes. Excuse me, to John Jones. Can't believe that. That one shocked me. That one is almost as easy as the 1st round to score, in my opinion. 3rd round, it gets a little closer. But again, I thought Dominic Reyes was more effective with his striking. The grappling was non-existent. And I see a lot of people talking about how in the 3rd round in particular, John Jones started to get more aggressive with the quote-unquote octagon control. You must understand that octagon control, whatever you want to call it, cage control, doesn't come into play when you are judging a fight unless striking and grappling cancel each other out. Unless it's that equal in terms of the damage done, not necessarily the amount of strikes thrown and landed, but the damage inflicted, that's when you look at octagon control. That wasn't the case. In my opinion, 2nd and 3rd round, Dominic Reyes inflicted more damage. He had the bigger punches. who did more to John Jones. And by the way, I can't believe that they didn't score in that first round, the knockdown and knockdown. It's not a real point of contention. Didn't really affect the fight. But if you ask me, that was a knockdown. John Jones has never been knocked down before. The guy deserves his little feather in his cap. I don't know how they could call that a slip. Now, the one judge of scores, of course, that scored at 49-46, Joe Solis, I don't know how you can justify that. I really don't. And I see some people saying, well, look, if it's not a robbery, and when you're talking about one round, when you're talking about the third round being, you know, the real point of contention, not necessarily a robbery, because we're agreeing that first and second, fourth and fifth went to those, you know, respective guys. Reyes at the beginning, Jones at the end. Third round to me was the most controversial one, right? But apparently, according to judges, I'm wrong, because a lot of them thought the second round was for John Jones. In the end, that judge, Joe Solis, in my opinion, should not be judging MMA. The fact that he gave Trevin Giles the first round against James Krause, where James Krause had his back and had multiple rear naked choke attempts, is mind-blowing to me. Absolutely mind-blowing. Probably the easiest round in the history of rounds to score. And then he had the 30-27 scorecard for the Andre Ewell fight earlier in the evening. I'm sorry, but just because the UFC comes to your jurisdiction once every 2 years doesn't mean you give an opportunity to the local referees to get, you know, some shine. When the NBA first came to Oklahoma City, way back when, you know, the local YMCA refs didn't get an opportunity to ref NBA games. It's not how this works. Now, the UFC can't wash their hands of this. I understand. We have to be clear. The UFC isn't the ones assigning judges and referees to these fights in America, in North America. But look, it's affecting your product. So perhaps we invest in trying to educate refs. Perhaps we invest in seminars. Perhaps we invest in talking to the commissions beforehand about who do you have? Are those the right guys? You know what I'm saying? Because that is just an abomination. That is a horrible, horrible scorecard. That was not a good night for Texas. So 3-2. Typically, when a challenger loses in a title fight, champion walks away, I'm not for the idea of that guy getting an immediate rematch. I don't like it. Champion moves on, you got to work your way back up. In this particular case, I would love to see the immediate rematch. I think that Reyes has earned it. I think he did enough. I think he won the fight. And again, we have to give credit to John Jones. By me saying here today that Reyes won the fight, I'm not trying to knock John in particular. I'm trying to say Reyes won the fight 3-2. But in the fourth and fifth, John had a great comeback. He looked good. Perhaps saved the fight for him. But most importantly for me, John Jones doesn't get enough credit for the amount of shots he takes. That man has a chin. We learned that against Thiago Santos. We learned that against Dominic Reyes. That man has a chin. That man could take a punch. And it is impressive the way in which he does that. That man could take a punch. Give him props for that. He's a smart fighter. Has he slowed down a little bit? I think so. Is he not as aggressive as he once was? I think so. You know, and when I talked to him a couple of days ago, 10 or so days ago in Albuquerque, he's talking about, you know, not being sober and the traditions and all that stuff. What you do at 23 and 24 affects you differently at 32 and 33. So are we seeing the best John Jones? Is he taking these opponents seriously? One thing I do want to see is us pumping the brakes on heavyweight. I don't think it's a smart move for John Jones to go up to heavyweight. He was having trouble taking Dominic Reyes down. What's going to happen at heavyweight? We pump the brakes at heavyweight. We stick around at 205. We either give Dominic Reyes an immediate rematch or we fight the winner of Corey Anderson versus Jan Blachowicz. That's what I'd like to see. And then maybe Izzy comes up at some point. But at the end of the day, judging is so subjective. This is going to continue to happen. The 10-point must system doesn't work. The 10.5-point must system, that doesn't work as well. I love the idea of open scoring, and I'm going to ask some of our guests about it today. It's the only sport, combat sport, the only sport where you don't know where you stand in very important fights, life-changing moments. You know where you stand in football, baseball, basketball, soccer. You know where you stand. Even in figure skating, you know where you stand moments after. I feel like these men and women should know where they stand. You should know going into the fifth if you need to do something spectacular. You should know if you're being screwed. So these are all radical things. And again, as I said at the top, it's not going to change anytime soon. It's important to talk about these things. But my heart breaks for Dominic Reyes. And that was a great fight. It really was. Let's not take away anything from both men. That was an instant classic. I loved that fight. I enjoyed watching it very much. But in the end, I thought that Dominic Reyes did enough to win that fight. 3-2. And after watching it again, I feel even more confident. 3-2. Dominic Reyes. Again, not personal. John's great. He's one of the greatest ever, but there has to be a winner. And also, I reached out to Joe Silva because Dana White said that he scored it a draw. And I was like, Joe Silva, how did you score that a draw? There's no 10-8. He said he gave the second round a 10-10. What? First of all, 10-10s, I mean, that's like an absolute unicorn. No one gives out 10-10s. Like only Douglas Crosby gives out a 10-10. First of all, that's just, I mean, come on. With all due respect, that's a cop-out. There's got to be a winner. 10-10? I mean, the stats don't even suggest that it's even close to a 10-10. Can't be a draw. What are we talking about here? 3-2. 48-47, Dominic Reyes. We'll be talking about this throughout the show. It's a fascinating topic. It's a topic we'll be talking about for quite some time, as well as who do you want to see John Jones fight next? There's a poll up there right now on my Twitter page. I asked all of you, Reyes, winner of Blachowicz versus Anderson, Israel Adesanya, or, of course, the heavyweight debut, which do you want? I even asked all of you who you thought won the main event on Saturday, and I think something like 50-something or 60-something percent of you voted in favor of Dominic Reyes. No real consolation for him. He is not the champion. He doesn't get that life-changing money, but kudos to you, Dominic Reyes, for the way in which you handled that on Saturday, because I thought you handled it with the utmost class. Now, one of the fascinating stories that played out in front of our eyes on Saturday was what happened in the ESPN headliner. Wow, what a story this was. I've been covering this sport and watching this sport for a long time. I feel comfortable saying right now, we've never seen this happen before. Joe Soto fought TJ Dillashaw on a day's notice, but he was scheduled to compete at UFC 177. They just moved things around. Charlie Brenneman fought Rick Story on a day's notice in Pittsburgh, but he was scheduled to compete on that card. Anderson Silva fought Daniel Cormier on 3 days' notice at UFC 200. Never before have we seen someone not scheduled to compete take a fight on 20 hours' notice and fight another UFC fighter in the UFC. That's exactly what James Krause did on Saturday. Unfortunately, he didn't win the fight, but everyone's respect has grown a little more for this man who is widely respected. He's kind enough to join us right now via the magic of Skype. James, thank you for doing this, my man. How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing great. Before we talk about Saturday, I actually want to start at the beginning of this crazy week for you, because I remember seeing you on Thursday at the hotel. You were there. So you came to Houston when?
Wednesday.
You came Wednesday and you were there to corner Yusuf Zalal.
Correct.
All right, so you're training with it. How much do you weigh when you come? Do you have any idea?
Yeah. So I typically walk around at like anywhere from like 90, low 90s usually. This time, however, like I trained. So I when I get on the road with Mark Montoya, my coach, like we go hard, like we get it in, because I don't get to train with him that much. So whenever I am with him, I like to work really hard. So we trained Wednesday night really hard, and then I trained for 6 hours total on Thursday. So I lost a ton of weight. I didn't have a ton of water in me. So I got down, I think I was below 180 actually, which is unheard of for me, but because I hadn't been drinking much water and I trained like crazy, I think that's why. But I was probably 85, you know, walking around the whole week.
6 hours. Do you usually do that? Is that like a common Thursday afternoon for you?
No, it's usually like 4 or 5, but
okay.
Like we get our brains going, and it just, you know, I just like to pick his brain a ton. I'm a student of the game, and that guy's he's got some good stuff, and you know, we try to learn off of each other, so we just kind of get in there, and you know, it was fun.
Okay, so where are you when you find out that Antonio Arroyo is potentially out of his fight against Trevin Giles, and what time of the day is this?
This is probably like 2 o'clock. Yeah, probably 2 o'clock. I was at lunch
on Friday, right?
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah, it's probably 2 o'clock. I'm at lunch. I just got done eating like a huge rice bowl. I had a Coke. I literally just got done, and Jason House, my manager, gets a text that says Arroyo was just taken to the hospital or something like that, and I just in passing, I was like, I'll fight Giles. I'll fight that dude. And I didn't think anything of it. You know what I mean? I didn't think it would come to fruition. I said, they, you know, we get a deal. I'll fight him. I don't care. And we didn't even know he was out at this point. We didn't know Arroyo was out at this point. So they start working through everything. And then we figure out about 30 minutes later that he is out. And then it goes to a deal where it's like, do you want the fight? And then obviously like the kind of like the negotiation talks, but I pretty much told them, they're like, you need to go to weigh-ins and weigh in. And I'm like, I told them, I said, I'm not going to weigh-ins until you guys figure this out. You're not going to go up there, get me on the stage, and then, like, let's say you guys don't want to pay me anymore. You don't, you know what I mean? Like, the deal isn't worked out, and then I'm going to look like a punk for not wanting to fight him.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So, like, you're not doing that to me. So, like, if you guys don't figure this out by 3:30, which was the time that everybody was leaving, so if you guys don't figure this out by 3:30, then we can just, you know, I'm good with it. So I gave him till 3:30 or whatever, and then nothing came. So I was just like, all right, cool, it's probably not going to happen. And like 3:45 rolls around, and they're like, you have the fight. And I'm like, no, we don't, you know, there's other things that need to be talking. We can talk about money, you know, like that's, I'm not fighting on 18 hours notice above my weight class on the current contract that I'm on. So anyway, they worked it out, and I got, we worked out the deal, and I got on a shuttle and made it there before weigh-ins, like a few minutes before, you know, like I jumped on a scale and went to the ceremonial weigh-ins, which everybody sees.
Wow. So are you happy with the deal that you got? That's a shrewd move on your part. Well done.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, yes, I am. I'm very happy with the deal. I appreciate the UFC, you know, doing that for me. I think this is like, these are things that some of the younger guys need to understand is, you know, like they had 13 fights on the card, which is pretty typical for a UFC card, but one fell off already. And then with Arroyo out would have been another one falling off, which would have put them in a tough spot given that they have to fill the slots for ESPN and they have to fill the pay-per-view spots as well. So it would have put them in a really tough spot if they didn't have that fight. So I knew I had a good hand for him, which really, I mean, at the end of the day, man, like I've been doing this for a long time. And somebody asked me in an interview, they're like, oh, do you think that they'll get you back on the next one? I said, no, like this is not what this is. Like the younger fighters need to understand that it's not their job to get us back as fighters. You know what I mean? It's not their job to give us, you know, if you're not happy with the current deal, like it is what it is. It's face value, right? Like if you don't get what you want now, you're not going to get it on the next one, or don't expect to get it on the next one at least. You know, I'm not saying those guys don't take care of me. This is not a shot at the UFC
right.
at all. Because I'm very happy with what we did, and I've been very happy with them. You know, I've never made as much money as I have with them in my entire life. So this is not a shot on them, but this is a business, and the guys don't understand that. The younger kids don't understand that, you know. So we worked out a deal that it gave them the fight. It gave me what I wanted, and it was a win-win. That's what you need to work out is the win-win, right?
Right.
You know, the win-win situation for both parties. So I understand that, and it worked out for both of us.
And just out of curiosity, was it a deal like the win-win? Was it a deal that was just for this fight, or was it like a new long-term deal that you got?
It was a new contract.
Oh, nice. Well done. All right. So then you go to the arena. Do you actually cut weight for this, or did you just step on the scale with what you got?
So whenever I heard the fight happen, I was 186.2.
Okay.
So I just stopped eating and drinking, and I ended up weighing in at like 83.5, I think, which was crazy to me that I floated that much in a matter of 2 hours or whatever it was. I didn't have to cut anything.
Amazing. And so when you stepped on the scale, did you know for sure that the fight was going to happen? Because based on our reporting, Mark Raimondi spoke to the Texas Commission. They had to check in with you to do your medicals later that night. So was it not even official at that moment?
It was. All I needed was the regular physical that the doctor can look at you and be like, yeah, you're fine.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm going to pass the physical. So that was the only – it was basically a formality at that point. You know what I mean? I knew I had the fight. I knew the fight was on. So I did the physical at like – 9 p.m. or something like that. And what was crazy is like, I didn't even bring a mouthpiece with me. So I had to go get a mouthpiece molded at 8 that night. And then they turned around and gave it to me the next morning because I just got Invisalign. So my teeth have moved. So I had to go get another mouthpiece remolded. And it was a crazy, crazy deal for me, man. Like I've never been a part of something like, you know what I mean? Like I've done some pretty stupid stuff in my career, but that one takes the cake.
Yeah. In your entire career, like even outside of the UFC, what's the least amount of time you've had to prepare for a fight prior to this?
As an amateur, I didn't think it was that big of a deal, to be honest with you. In the Midwest, this is common. Like it's just, you know, coming up in the amateurs, I would show up to venues and fight people on 2 hours notice.
Wow.
Regularly. I mean, it wasn't – it was a different time, though, too. Like, I've been fighting for almost 14 years. So, like, this – you know what I mean? This is in the Wild West days, so – I have almost 65 fights pro and amateur. So this is a long, long time ago. It's not like that anymore. This is back when like the weight classes weren't a real thing. Like it wasn't even regulated where I live. So like, you know, But yeah, I mean, it's in terms of like high level, it's not anywhere right. close. You know, a few days. I've taken a fight on a few days' notice, but not like this.
Did you guys have time to devise a game plan? Did you even have time to like watch his stuff?
I've watched. I know exactly who he is. Zach Cummings, my teammate, fought him. I helped coach Zach for that fight, so I know him very well. I mean, I felt like he was very similar to Warley Alves, who I'd fought a couple years ago. So we pretty much just stuck to the game plan of that. He was a lot bigger. He's a lot faster. He hit harder. And what really hurt me was I just wasn't in my normal fight shape. Mm. You know, like I'm always in good shape, but good shape and fight shape are not the same thing. I just wasn't able to. If you watch the fight, you can tell it's just a little different than what I'm used to. You know, I normally move a lot right. more. I'm kind of flowing a little bit more. It's just really hard for me to find my groove. I think that's, you know, the first round I spent a lot of energy trying to get that choke, which was really close. But I just wasn't able to find my groove, and I think that's just because of the, you know, the short notice. Obviously, if I had 2 weeks to prepare for it, I truly feel like it would have been a different ballgame.
By the way, do you get nervous like on Saturday? Was it a little different for you than your typical fights because you didn't have any time to prepare?
I wouldn't say nervous, man. I've been doing this for a long time. I've been fighting. I fought some really good guys, and I mean, it's the same. It felt the same. It really did. Like what's crazy is I told my coach. I said, man, this doesn't feel any different. You know what I mean? Like you're going to get the same little jitters and all that stuff, you know, in the weigh-in line. And, you know, when you see your opponent for the first time and all that, it's all the same stuff, man. You know, just the only difference is like, you don't have time to prepare. So
right.
it was no different. You know, the only difference for me was like, I wasn't in as good a shape. I truly feel like if they offered that fight 6 weeks ago, even at middleweight, I feel like it's a way different fight. I mean, I just wasn't in anywhere close to the shape that I normally am in.
I saw on your Instagram on Saturday morning, your wife came to support you, right? She flew out to support you. What was it like when you told her, hey, I'm going to fight tomorrow?
Yeah. She was like, she's all about it, man. She, you know, she knows I live the life and I'm ready. And, she has like almost like a blind faith for me. You know what I mean? Like if I say, hey, I'm going to go jump off this cliff, she'd be like, okay, have fun. Love you. Yeah. So it's pretty cool. You know, she knows that I typically make somewhat educated decisions, and I don't regret doing this. I would do this again. You know what I mean? I would, even knowing the outcome, I would probably do it again. I think I don't feel like a loser today. You know, I'm talking to you. You know what I mean? Like I feel like my stock only went up. I'm a little disappointed. I truly feel like, I told Mark this. I said, I really feel like I had a chance to change my life. My stock went up. But I feel like my stock could have went up way more with the decision, which I don't agree with. I thought I took rounds 1 and 3, but that's obviously we don't want to get into that, right? To be the champ, you got to beat the champ, right?
Right, exactly.
I'm messing with you. No. I'm trying to get you riled up.
Yes, thank you. But I'm wondering, like, what are you thinking in that first round? Because it looked like, oh my God, he's going to submit him. Like, this is incredible. What are you thinking? How close were you?
I was very close, man. Gosh, dang it. You know, it kind of irritates me even talking about it. If that was a 70-pounder, I feel like I would have got it. His hips were just extremely heavy. His grip was way stronger than any – you know what I mean? Like, the size plays a big role. Whenever I would get the grip, I just wasn't able to get that normal squeeze I know I can. He would get his hands in, and he would just pull. He was really strong in the first, you know. I just couldn't get a hold of him like I wanted to. His hips were good. He did a really good job of keeping my choking arm on top rather than on bottom, and I couldn't get his hips. He would move his hips the other way. He just had real strong hips, real athletic. I feel like if I would have got that in the second or the third, I would have finished that, but he was fresh still, so it made it a little harder to finish. I should have finished it. It kind of pisses me off even talking about it still, but whatever. You know what I mean? It's out of my control at this point.
When did you start to feel like, man, I just don't have my same cardio? Like, when did you start to get tired?
In the back.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know, you know what I mean? Like, I know it's just different. You know, I wasn't tired in the back or anything like that, but I knew, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I feel that I wasn't my normal self. I wasn't recovering like I usually do. Normally, no matter how tired I am in the first, that 1 minute, I'm ready to roll. Like, round two is not a problem. I was exhausted.
Really?
This is the most tired I've ever been in my entire life. Like, round three was all heart. Like, I was smoked, man. Mark got my ass in between second and third, And he was like, you know, give me 5 minutes. And that's, I went out and I was like, I can't take him down. That's what was making me tired, is I kept trying to wrestle him. And I was like, I just got to try to knock this dude. I got to try to knock his head into the fifth row. And I did. And once again, I feel like that if that was a, you know, welterweight,
right,
I feel like those punches would have been a bigger impact. Cause I know I hurt him a couple of times. I know I did. I was laying some big shots on him, but I just, you know, that it is what it is, man. I knew what I was getting into when I did. So I would do it all over again. I knew what I was getting involved in whenever I said yes, but it just sucks. You know, the sizes, it made a difference.
But you did feel before they read the scorecards that you had won 2-3, first and third.
I felt like I won first and third. Yes, absolutely. But I had seen some of the other decisions,
right,
and kids from Houston. He's a Houston cop in Houston. Like I didn't feel good about it, man.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I thought I took first and third, though. But that's not even my problem. You know what I mean? Like, my fight was a close fight. Like, I've thought about this. I think I do a very good job of unobjectively thinking about this. And I feel like if you take all the bad decisions from the rest of the night out, I feel like my fight was too close to complain about for me. You know what I mean? I'm not complaining that I lost the fight. I thought I won first and third, but we'll push that to the side. What is baffling to me is the judge gave him the first round and gave me the third round.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know how you can score the first round any other way than 10-9 for me. Like, I don't know, man. Like, maybe I'm.
No, that's one of the worst scorecards. One of the worst scorecards I've ever seen, the 10-9. And then to come and find out that that's the guy who scored, Joe Solis, who scored 49-46 for Jones, which is less egregious compared to what he did to you. I don't know. I think someone who doesn't even know a thing about MMA, just watching that and watching how you're trying to submit him, would be like, oh yeah, of course that guy won that round, right?
Yeah. Gosh, it's frustrating, man. It's super frustrating. If you don't even have to watch MMA to understand. I mean, when you control somebody for 3.5-4 minutes, you know, I don't know what else I could do to win the round. You know, how did they even give him the round off of, he hit me like 3 times. You know what I mean? I took him down. I got the takedown. I controlled his back. I almost finished him three or four times. Like, I don't know what else I can do to win the round, you know, like that. Once again, it's out of my control. So I don't want to spend a ton of time complaining about it, but that at least to go back, I don't want to make the interview about the scoring system, but if you guys aren't going to change the rules of the scoring, or if we're not going to do anything about that, at least tell me if I'm winning or losing, for God's sake.
So you like the idea of open scoring?
Absolutely. In any other realm,
yeah,
how do you not know if you're winning or losing? It's like watching a basketball game from 100 yards away and you're not keeping score. After 2 hours, you don't know if you won or lost, man. Like, not to mention that we're using a scoring system for another sport that is not even, yeah, it's not even our sport, man. Like, there's, I don't know, it's ridiculous. You're getting, I'm
I
getting
agree.
Pissed off talking about
it. Listen, I agree
it's,
with everything
it's
you said.
It's absurd, man.
It's absolutely absurd.
Like, but hey, I get it. It's not easy to change those things because there is no right answer, right? That's the problem, is there is no like, hey, this is what needs to happen. But if you're not going to change the rules, at least tell me if I'm winning or losing, man. Like, I that's what's so frustrating about it, is like, why are we not doing open scoring? It's so stupid, man. Like, at least tell me if I'm winning or losing. And I know why they don't do it. They don't do it because they're afraid that some of the fights, like, people will try to hold on, you know, for the last round. But I'm telling you what, if I knew I was down 0-2 going into the third, I mean, I did it anyway, but I'm trying to knock that dude's head into the fifth row, because I had it 1-1 going into the third. And it, man, to give that guy the first round is criminal to me. I know my opinion doesn't really matter in this, but it's insane to me.
Well, that's actually part of the problem. Your opinion should matter more than anyone's opinion, because you're the guy in there and this is affecting your livelihood. And I couldn't agree more. This idea that someone's just going to like get on his bicycle and drive around the cage is hogwash, because you can get penalized for timidity. You can get penalized for not engaging. So you can't just run around. The ref would stop and take a point away from you if that happened.
Well, there's no accountability on these guys either. It's like, there's no prerequisite. Joe's saying these guys are on their phone. Like, this is what, and it's a problem where I live too. I mean, these guys, they don't understand what is at stake. You know, these are real lives. Like, they don't understand that they could ruin somebody's life or change somebody's life, like, drastically, like, good or bad, right? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, I feel like if I would have won that fight, I could be in some, you know, my situation would be even better than what it is right now. And it's just, man, they don't understand that they have people's lives at stake, and it's they should be embarrassed, man. They should be embarrassed by what has happened. And once again, for everybody listening, like, I'm not even mad that I lost, but that's not the point here. You know what I mean? The point is like, how do you score round one for him is beyond me. Two and three, sure, man, like, whatever, you know, that's, I can't complain about it too much, but it's absurd to me that's how it goes. And there's no accountability on their end. There's no damage done on their end. They can go home that night. They get paid right. The same. Good decision or bad decision, they're going to get asked to come back the next time. It's, you know what I mean? Like, I laid in bed until I didn't really sleep. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, dude, yeah, it sucks, man.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming on. And again, everyone respects you so much for what you did. I would imagine your next fight's at 170, right? You're going to go back down?
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
And hopefully get a full training camp for that. You don't have that one yet, right? Like, you didn't have one before this.
No. They were talking about something March 7th, but I think I'm going to, I don't think
take
I can
some
do that.
Time.
I'm coaching quite a few people this month. I need to take a little bit of time off, dedicate to the team, and I'll get back in there soon. I think the new contract will motivate me to fight a little bit more than I have in the past few years, which is really fun. You know, it's not very motivating for me to fight some of these guys for what I was making. But I think we're at the right place now. So hopefully I'll get a little bit more active, and you guys will be seeing me a little bit more.
Much respect, my man. Thank you for doing this, especially after the loss as well. And again, just, I can't even say, like, I've never seen this before. I've never seen anyone even consider something like this. So I think everyone respects you even more so than they did a few days ago. And I don't think you should hold your head any lower. You should hold your head very high for what you did. So congrats, man. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me, Ari. I appreciate it.
All right, there he is, James Krause. How can you not be a fan of his after what he did Saturday night in Houston, taking that fight on 18 hours notice against Trevin Giles? Incredible stuff, regardless of the fact of, you know, whether or not he won the fight. It's a pretty amazing thing what he did. All right, another great story on Saturday. Derek Lewis returning to his adopted hometown of Houston, Texas, defeating Aliyah Latifi in his heavyweight debut. Derek Lewis, the birthday boy. On Friday, he celebrated his 35th, not 47th, Geez, no one could take a joke around these parts. 35 years young for the Black Beast, and there he is. Wow, look at that. Crystal clear Skype. Derek, moving on up. This is great. We haven't had this kind of connection in a while, my man.
Yeah, for sure. I see y'all got rid of that cricket wireless band y'all had at first.
I feel like you're like in the room with me. This is amazing. It's good to see you, Derek. How are you?
I'm okay, man. What's up, man? What you want?
Well,
what you talk about?
Congratulations on the win. Were you happy with it? Were you happy with the fight?
I wasn't happy with the fight, of course. Yes, I'm happy with the win. It was a close fight. You know, the damn takedowns and him just wanting to just hold me against the cage and hold me on the ground and stuff like that. It's really, it bothered me a lot, but I just had to stay patient and just really not try to worry about it too much. But I wanted to be more active. I worked my butt off this camp. I wanted to do a lot more striking, and I wanted to show everyone that I got more skills that I've been working on. And it sucks that I couldn't really showcase those skills.
Did you think you did enough to win the fight before they read the scorecards? Did you think you had it?
I just knew it was close. It was just the takedowns, you know.
Were you surprised by his power?
I didn't really feel his power, really.
Well, I mean, he was picking you up. I mean, that takes a lot of power to pick a guy of your size up like that and take him down, right? I mean,
I guess so. My kids could do it. I know they ain't that strong.
All right. So you weren't impressed by his power?
Nah, he was pretty good. He was a strong guy, yeah.
I was just thinking, you know, going up to heavyweight, fighting a guy like you, you're going to lose something there. He's a sledgehammer. I mean, he's a really strong guy, but I wasn't expecting him to be that effective with his takedowns.
Well, he walks around 240. He walks around at that weight, so it wasn't really nothing of him losing. He loses his strength whenever he goes down to 205, not whenever he's walking around at his natural weight.
What about those flying knees?
Nothing left. Yeah, I got flying knees. I got a lot of other flying stuff I like to work on. I wanted to show y'all.
So. Oh, There was more.
Just stay tuned. Yeah, it's a lot more. A lot more. I told you once I get this weight under control, it'd be a lot more than what you're seeing.
Do you feel a lot lighter out there?
Yeah, I felt real. I felt real light and felt fast. I felt comfortable. Finally, I felt comfortable in the cage and in the octagon. But yeah, I felt good.
It's an amazing thing because you actually weigh pretty much the same as you did in the past, but you're just a completely different guy now.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, it was just being comfortable in there, being healthy for the most part.
Did you work with the same nutritionist as you did last time, Lou Giordano?
No, he worked with Jones for a little bit. He didn't work with me this camp. So I really did my own. My wife, she helped me with the diet this time.
Wow. So you don't need a... Unfortunately, you said?
No, I'm just messing with you. But yeah, she helped me with my...
So does this mean you won't need an actual nutritionist with you? You got the wife.
No, it's cool. It's cool to have someone cooking my meals besides my wife. Yeah, it's cool.
Okay.
It's good.
Did you watch pro wrestling in the 80s? Were you a pro wrestling fan?
Not in the 80s, man. I'm not that old, man. God damn.
You're 35.
Born in 85.
I mean, come on. 88. Okay, fine. Fair enough.
Elite.
I mean, we're not that much.
I ain't even on no TV.
All right. You didn't have a TV when you were that young?
I didn't know anything about TV.
Okay.
I'm born in 85, man. I'm 5 years old.
Well, the reason.
What's up with the wrestling in the 80s? What's up?
Okay, well,
what do you expect?
Because Hulk Hogan, I'm sure you heard of Hulk Hogan, right?
Uh-huh.
He used to do something called hulking up. He used to go like, he used to get beat up, and then he would hulk up, and then he would turn the tables. Yeah. I feel like that's what you did in the third round. Like, all of a sudden, you just got annoyed of him, and you're like, you know what? Enough of this. And I'm just going to go, you know, balls to the wall on you.
Yeah, for sure.
Where'd you get that burst of energy?
That's the way I fight in the third round. You know, that's how I knock out the Russian dude.
Right.
Same way, and that's how I... ended up winning my last fight the same way. And whenever I fought Big Country, the same way. You know, just get tired of them dudes holding me, man.
But do you actually conserve your energy in order to do that? Or do you just know, all right, there's...
Man, I'm not... I feel like I've been telling y'all too much of my game plan.
Oh, my bad.
All these guys just sitting back looking at my videos and all that, trying to scoop how they can beat the beast and this and that. So I'm not really going to tell you, man.
Okay, fair enough.
Especially... I don't trust you no more.
What? What did I do?
I don't know, man.
What? You mean you don't
today
trust
me? Monday. I'm feeling like I don't want to trust you today. Today, Monday.
Because you said you don't trust me no more. Did something happen between us?
I don't know. I just woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning.
Oh, my bad.
Something told me that I shouldn't trust you today. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I deserve that. You know why? Because Friday night, I went to this place with Mark Ramundi and New York Rick called the Turkey Leg Hut. In Houston. What a spot that is. Wow. It was amazing.
Yeah. Was it good?
Listen, we waited over an hour just to be seated. And then we waited 45 minutes for our food. And while I was waiting in line, I said, all right, I'm not going to wait an hour for some place that's not that good. I'm going to call one person and one person only. So I texted you, the resident mayor of Houston, and you said, trust me, get the turkey leg etouffee. And now I knew you were bougie and everything, but I didn't know you know French.
Yeah.
Like etouffee, that I didn't even know what that meant. And
I'm from New Orleans.
I know, but damn.
What are you talking about?
I didn't know. How was I supposed to know? Guess what? I sat down. I didn't see etouffee on the menu, so I didn't order it. I blew it. Was it a secret item?
Yeah, that's what I had when I went there. What was the other thing, that turkey leg thing? It's like the Cajun rice and all that on there.
Yeah, they didn't have it. Yeah. So
what you had? You didn't get the turkey leg?
I got the turkey leg with mac and cheese on top, which is kind of crazy. It was good, but I felt like I didn't. You said, trust me, and I felt like I let you down. So perhaps subconsciously, this is why you don't trust me on this Monday.
Yeah, that's probably what it was. But yeah, the food is pretty good there.
What a spot. Wow. Chael told me that I blew it. He said that you saying trust me was like, this is a secret item. It's only for the locals. You don't actually read it. You just say it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so you should have told him that's what you wanted on your turkey leg.
Yeah, my bad.
That's your loss. Yeah.
Any fun birthday plans? Did you do anything or were you just focused on the fight?
My wife threw me a surprise birthday with the kids and had a couple of friends over Sunday. So it was nice.
Yeah. What'd you guys do?
Just stayed at the house. She threw a seafood on boil.
Oh, wow.
Had a bunch of lobster. So it was cool. You know, it ain't too bougie.
Well, it's funny because I was in Houston, coincidentally, on Sunday, but I didn't get the heads up or anything about the party. I thought maybe, you know, after all these years.
Oh, no, I'm pretty sure it's too hood for you to be here. Anyway.
Come on.
So I know you from New York. It's too hood for you to come over here.
By the way, participants in the Helwani Knows World Order Trivia Challenge are now 6-3. You extended our streak to 6 wins. So you're giving us, you know, you're okay. Keeping us above, well above 500. So well done on that. And, you know, I wanted to ask you because your fight was close. You didn't know where you stood. We just spoke to James Krause about, you know, his particular fight, and that was somewhat controversial as well. This is a big topic on this Monday. Are you in favor of open scoring? Do you like that idea as a participant? Would you want that for your fights?
What do you mean open scoring? I didn't really listen to the interview.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. I didn't expect you to. But basically, it's like.
I really don't even watch your show. I only watch your show whenever I got to be on.
It's basically end of the round. The judges give their score. And then the world knows, including you, who won. So they'll say 10-9 Lewis. And so you know going into the third, going into the fourth, fifth, where you stand as opposed to, okay, it's one big secret. It's a surprise. And we'll just find out at the end.
That'd be cool. Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be cool.
There are some people.
Yeah, I'm all for that. It seemed like it would be fair.
Right.
Yeah, it seemed like it would be fair. But also, it'd be like the judge might not like the other judge, so they'd probably be like, oh, he did a 10-9. And forget that, man. I'm going to go. It was 10-7.
Right. Well, that'd
so
be
it might. It still could work both ways. You never know.
The detractors would say that if you know you're up, say, 2-0 going to the third, you just won't engage, right? You'll just kind of run around.
Yeah, it would be boring. So you never know because, you know, I thought for sure I was losing the fight, you know, and so that's the reason why I got that little burst at the end.
So for you, it helped.
I still felt like it wasn't enough because he did a lot of stalling, like the holding. Like his positions on me and stuff like that.
Okay, so in the end,
he wasn't doing no damages, but the ref was talking to us the whole time. Got to advance, got to be in a better position, got to work. And I felt like he wasn't really working.
In the end, though, if they asked you for your vote, would you say yes to open scoring or no?
I guess not, because like I said, that I heard also it's a lot of mafia tied.
Stop it.
Maybe in the UFC. Stop. You know, you never know, man. Might be a little mafia tied. And one of the mafia dudes might be in the audience and get a judge that look and be like, hey, the next round, man, you better, damn, you know, straighten it up. Got to be on 10-10 or 10-9 or something like that.
That's a fair point. By the way, were your shorts too big on you? They seemed like they were giving you some troubles.
Yeah, my shorts was too big, man. I guess I lost a little bit too much weight.
Yeah.
And so I got to change my size or whatever. Why are you watching my shorts anyway, man? You shouldn't be watching my shorts. Watch my ass. And
stop. They were like all baggy. You kept fixing them throughout the fight. I was like, wow, this has got to be annoying, right? I mean, they're falling down.
Yeah, it was annoying. I guess he hanging on to me didn't help either.
Do you feel like every time you win now, people are expecting you to say something funny or witty, take off your shorts? Like, because now it's a lot of pressure to outdo the 229 one, right?
There's no pressure. It's just me being myself, man. I'm not trying to impress anyone. I'm not trying to come up with anything. So I'm not writing anything down. I just say whatever that's on my mind. So I don't care how people feel about it. I say whatever.
Okay.
I'm just being myself.
I was told that Curtis Blaydes wants to fight you. What do you think of that fight?
Yeah, of course Curtis Blaydes want to fight him because he's a wrestler. And he felt like that he could do more damage to me if he take me down. You know, of course. So that's great. That could be the next fight.
You're down with that?
Yeah, it'd be good. So instead of him trying to wait for the title and try to push for the title, but he want to risk all of that and try to fight me and get bumped all the way out of the way, that's fine.
Okay.
I guarantee I'll be a way better fighter than I was.
Do you feel like you have to work on your weekend, on your ground game, your jiu-jitsu?
No, I really don't even have to work on that. I know all of that area. That's the thing about it. I know all my jiu-jitsu. I know the takedown defense. I know not to be flat on my back and all this and that. I know I can't be doing all that. I already know that. It's just the way I want to feel, the way I fight the fight the way I want to fight. I make my opponent fight me the way I really want to. If I want him to hold me against the cage, I let him hold me. I could get him off me at any time I want. I can get up off the ground anytime I want. I fight the way I wanted to fight.
By the way, I didn't.
And I control the fight.
I didn't ask you about this on Thursday when I saw you, but a story involving you went viral a few weeks ago where it seemed like a boxer at the gym tried to say that he was better than you, and you guys sparred, and you seemed to teach him a lesson, right? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know.
Can you tell us the story?
Well, the dude been coming to the gym for like 2 weeks, and they been like disrespecting the coaches and everyone that's in there. It didn't matter the weight class that he was in, and he was saying that he wanted to spar anybody, that he wanted to prove himself so he could go ahead and get him a fight quick. And said that they've been saying this all week, that he'll fight anybody in here, he'll knock out anybody to prove himself, try to get a fight. And one day I walked in and I never seen him before. And he was saying that, who's this guy right here? And he's saying everybody was telling him that's the Black Beast or whatever, UFC fighter. And he's saying, man, I knocked that boy out. But, you know, such and such words.
Right.
But and he said that and I said, man, okay, get this man some gloves. Then I asked my coach, did he sign a waiver? He said, yeah. I said, get this man some gloves. So they gave him some gloves. I didn't even stretch. I just took off my shirt and I said, let's go.
And then that happened.
Yeah, and that happened.
How long did that last?
Less than a minute.
Wow. Less than a minute. You knocked him out?
Yeah.
Has he been back?
And it felt more like a street fight than a sparring match anyway. So it was like, of course, I was still hitting him when he was knocked out. So that's the way I would do if he in a street fight anyway. So that's what.
Sure.
Oh, well.
And
he signed that waiver, so anything goes.
Has he been back?
Nah, he been back one day. Then after that, he ain't come back no more. He signed up 1 month. He signed up the next day, and he ain't been back ever since.
Okay.
I told my coach I apologize for him losing a gym member. And I'm still not going to pay him extra. Nothing like that, though.
Okay. I thought you were going to say you were going to apologize for beating up the guy.
Oh, no. Forget that. No.
And should we be concerned at all about your post-fight drug test? I mean, you said you smoked a lot of marijuana. Was that just a joke?
You can look at my lips, Aaron. You know I don't smoke no weed, man.
I know. Well, I don't know.
My lips too pink. If my lips was black, then you can know I smoke weed all the time. My lips too pink, man.
I had no idea that was a thing. You could tell? Really?
Yeah. That's, if your lips are real pink, purple, whatever, black dude, pink, black lips, purple lips or whatever.
Okay.
Red ashy.
Yeah.
You know, he's doing something more than smoking weed.
I had no idea.
I'm not doing all that.
All right. Well, I'm good.
You see, when I talk to you, I don't keep sniffing and all that either, so I'm not even doing that either. So I really don't do no drugs, no narcotics.
Good.
So I'm should be good.
Good man. you want to be you're going to be available for March 28th if something happens with that main event and Ganu Rosenstrike?
Yeah, I'll be available, but also my coach wanted me to get something checked out that came up with my medicals and stuff like that that's been hindering my training.
What's that?
So we're really supposed to be keeping it on the down low, but I got to get it checked out. The UFC doctors know what it is, and the doctors here in Houston already know what it is as well. So it's just something that's been going on that I still got to get addressed.
Okay. Is it serious?
Oh, yeah. It's really like life or death situation serious. Yeah.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Come on.
Yeah.
Life or death?
Yes.
Are you messing with me? Hmm? You're messing with me.
I'm dead serious.
Okay.
I'm dead serious.
Could you tell us what it is?
No, it's something that happens to a lot of athletes. It don't matter if you're healthy or not.
Okay.
It's something that still could happen to you at a drop of a hat.
Are you worried?
That's all I can say. Huh?
Are you worried?
No, I'm not worried.
When will you find out if everything's okay?
Probably like next week. I'm gonna go to the doctor.
Okay.
Maybe this week. So we'll see.
Could this affect your career?
It could affect my life.
Right, but even if they say it doesn't affect your life, but could it affect you from fighting?
The doctor actually had told me that he think I shouldn't have took this last fight.
Really?
That's what he had said. That he said that if the situation like this, that he don't think I should fight. But so I got a second opinion from the USC doctors, and they read over everything and checked everything out. Me saying that it shouldn't be a problem.
Okay. Were you worried about it in the fight?
Yeah, I was, and the first round it happened. Then I was like, okay.
What happened?
I'm not going to think about it. The situation that's going on. That's
okay. All right. You don't want to tell us what it is?
No, I don't want to tell you what it is.
Okay. I respect that. But I appreciate you letting us know. And so you say this week or next week you'll go get it checked out and you'll have a better sense for how serious it is?
Yeah, for sure. Then, get it checked out. Then I could really step my training up because
okay.
I couldn't really do too much. I did enough to go 15 minutes and to fight the way I did. It just had what the hell calling me? Hold on. But, yeah.
How long did you know about this?
It's been really happening for over a year.
Wow.
I finally just went to the doctor and got it checked out a month ago.
Okay. Well, I wish you the best, man.
I should be good.
Okay. All right. You know, I tend to get nervous in these situations, so I'm sorry for, you know, prying, but, you know, you're a great guy, and I want you to be healthy and happy.
Yeah, I know. I will.
All right.
My wife worry about it, but I'm not.
Okay. Good
not
man.
Too much.
Well, I wish you the best, sending positive thoughts your way. And if you can, keep us posted because it's a little cryptic here. I'm not really sure what we're talking about. So now I'm very worried as well, along with your wife, obviously not at the same level. So keep us posted if you can. And I always appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, I'm sure some will leak out about it. I'm sure y'all got some snitches.
No snitches. Listen, snitches get stitches around here.
They'll come up.
Not around here. I go straight to the source.
Your
like
nose
the turkey
growing. Level. Your nose growing.
I understand.
Nose just got 2 inches bigger. Just talking to me. You're
the man, Derek. Thank you and congratulations. All the best.
Thank you.
All right. There he is. The Black Beast, Derek Lewis. Kind enough to join us. Always great to have him on the show. Big win for him against Alir Latifi. You know, that was a bit of a curveball at the end there. I'm not really sure how to process that, but he seems to be in good spirits. He says life-threatening is a bit of a scary thing. So I love Derek Lewis. He's a great character, a great guy, an amazing guy, and has really turned his life around, has become one of the best fighters in the heavyweight division. So we certainly wish him the best and appreciate him coming on and wish him a happy birthday as well. All right, now let's move along to another big story from Saturday. What a performance once again from Valentina Shevchenko. Unbelievable watching her fight. It is a true honor, a true pleasure, a real treat watching her go in there and do her thing. On Saturday, she defeated Caitlin Chookagian via third round TKO, proving once again that she's one of the very best fighters on the planet, period, regardless of gender. And there she is joining us right now via the magic of Skype. Valentina, how are you?
Doing good. Hello, Ariel.
Oh, it's
feeling great.
I bet you are. What a performance again. I have to say, I'm in awe of you, Valentina, the way in which you fight, how technically sound you are, how focused you are, how you go out there and try to finish the fights. It's really a pleasure to watch you fight. Do you feel like you have reached your potential? Like, is this the best version of you that we're ever going to see? Or do you think it's possible that we're even going to see a better version of you in the years to come?
I hope so. I never stop to improve myself, and every time each single fight it make me stronger and bring in some more experience. So I hope so. I never will stop to being kind of like better version of me than yesterday.
Do you have any fears? Does anything bother you?
Anything like what?
I don't know. Anything on this planet, because again, you seem so unflappable, like nothing can faze you. You go out there and you do the job and you do it so well. I'm just wondering if anything bothers you, anything make you nervous, anything, you know, that you're afraid of.
Of course, because I'm a human. I'm not a robot. Definitely. But the other things, how people, they can, manage this, their thing, what they are afraid for or whatever. And every time some of them, they just okay, I cannot do it. And they are breaking in this time. I think it's wrong. But I was taught from my childhood that I have to look at these things and try to find the way how to, just to find an exit, just do it better. Not look at the issue like it's something that you cannot move or you cannot do. You can do whatever you want. Just you have to focus and think about everything positive. I know it's gonna be hard. I know I will struggle. And for example, during my trainings on training camp, meaning that I'm coming to the training and everything easy and I'm happy and something like this. No, it's kind of that, it's every time difficult. It's very hard way what we are fighters doing. It's everyday trainings and it's like physical pressure, mental pressure, and it's hard. It's hard life, but I think when I speaking about myself, when you are inside of the octagon, everyone watching you, and you are standing there with your hands raised up, it's like the amazing feeling. It's like, as I said, straight after the fight, it's a total happiness. And I think is this make you feel the life, not just live and live, but exactly feel the moment. And I would not share it. I would not change it. I would not switch it for anything.
After some of the criticism following the Liz Carmouche fight, did you feel like I want to go in there and finish this woman to shut everyone up?
No, never. Never I'm thinking like this. I think my performance against Liz Carmouche was exactly what I had to do because Liz, she's dangerous opponent and she has her, before I face any opponent, I try to study them. I try to see what tricks they are doing, how they win in their fights. And Liz, she has this style when she's, she's waiting. You're like victim in the trap. And when someone in there, she's doing her things. It was the same what she did in all her fights. She was using their energy that it's coming into her. And then she doing takedown, whatever, and winning the fight. So I did everything that I had to do against Liz. So it was, of course, it was not KO, it was not TKO, but I had two knockdowns during the fight, but probably it was very fast and people could not see it. But she was on the floor, she received these knockdowns, and I think it was good performance. And I never think about my next fight that I have to prove someone anything. No. I just want to do my best and win the fight.
You know, she is 4 inches taller than you, and also she has a 2.5 inch reach advantage on you. Do you like fighting? Because I feel like with your style, it actually might behoove you to fight someone a little taller because you are so compact and you go in there and you're so powerful. Do you like fighting taller opponents?
I would not say that I like to fight taller opponent, or smaller opponent, or I just, take how it is, what I have. So I don't have a choice. I cannot choose who I gonna fight next. And for example, when I have my opponent, okay, I start to study and I start to think about what I have to do. And, in my experience, mostly of my opponents, they were taller than me. In Muay Thai, in MMA, in every fight, I'm not the tallest like fighter in my weight class. And I had to learn how to manage, how to do like these things, not to be my weakness, but my strong part. Yes, I feel good. I feel good with my height. I don't have any problem having this height, and I would say I change it. I switch it for the feeling, the good feeling of the distance and ability to work in the, right distance.
Just for the record, I had no problems with the stoppage. I thought it was 100% the right call, but I did see some people say, maybe it was a little early. Did you have any issues with it at all? Were you surprised, maybe?
I think referee, by the end of the day, he did right, because I felt that there is no way that Caitlin can go out from this position, from the crucifix position that I had. And it would be just more and more damage towards her, because I think it was right stoppage. It's I don't think it would be matter 5 punches more, 10 punches more, but by the end of the day, it would be the same.
Right. A lot was made of the fact that Halle Berry came to support you. So you guys are friends. Not only are you in her movie, but she actually flew out to Houston to come watch you fight?
Yes, exactly. She came to support me. And, I feel amazing about this, because I'm very happy that now I can say that Halle, she's my friend. And because that time that we spent during the filming, we share during the trainings, during the everything, we share our emotions, and she's a great person. She's I love to work with her. She's so nice. She's so dedicated to what she's doing, and she's so professional. And for example, for this movie, she was training, she was prepared for 3 years. She was taking receiving all this experience from the fighters, learning herself how to fight, and she's in amazing form. She's very person who inspire people.
Incredible. I mean, it's amazing to see you, in this photo with her. She's such an icon in Hollywood. I know you were part of her movie. Do you know when the movie is coming out?
I don't know exactly the date, okay, but I heard something that it's going to be this year, probably. I hope sooner, but I think sometime by then, probably end. But let's hope it's going to come out sooner.
And is she still hurt? Or because I heard she got hurt, right, in the filming?
I think she's recuperating now, because I know the filming ended few months ago.
Okay.
And she told me that she's feeling okay.
Good. That's amazing to have her come to your fight and support you. It's really cool. And I also saw that you got a phone call from the president of Kyrgyzstan. Did you ever imagine, when you were a little girl, that you'd become a professional and the president would just call you up to congratulate you on whatever you're doing in your life? How cool is that?
No, I never thought that I will have something, but even I didn't think about it. It wasn't that I dreamed about, one day I will be there, I will be here. No, I just did what I liked, and I did martial arts. I practiced it. I traveled. I traveled to different competition, meeting the people, doing my life interesting. And of course, when being right now in this position, what I am right now, it's amazing feeling, because all this year of my dedication to one thing, martial art, it's I can see it worth. It was worth it, and of course, it's a huge motivation. And I just want to keep doing the same thing, enjoying my life, doing martial arts, and every day trying to be the best version of me. Doesn't matter if it is martial arts or something else, learning some new things. I just want to have my life full of interesting things.
Yeah, I mean, that's a perfect way to live your life. And I know that there was some talk of maybe doing an event close to Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, with you a part of it. You had that hero's welcome when you came home. Any chance that happens this year or maybe early next year? Is there any more talk of this?
I don't know. I didn't hear it. Didn't hear it about Kazakhstan, but of course I love to compete one day in Kyrgyzstan. I think it would be amazing. But you know, for me, I appreciate every single city, every single country, every single location, what I competed in. And I just love to compete. And I love to travel. And of course, I would like to fight in different. I love to fight in USA because it's like every time it's different city and it's so unique and it's so different. And I try to have this like few days to go around and explore at least a little bit during the fight week.
I'm getting the sense that the next fight for you is Joanne Calderwood. Do you agree with me? Am I onto something here?
Probably yes, because for me right now it's makes sense. She's number three, ranked number three. I think yes, yeah.
Anyone else makes sense for you other than her?
Anyone else? I think she's like more closer for this one, for the next step in. Probably, yeah, if she will be in good spirit and good health,
yes,
it's gonna happen.
happen in July, maybe.
We are now February, March, April. It's too far.
Too far. Okay. When would you like to return?
I don't know. Probably 2-3 months from here.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to be active?
I want to be active. Yeah, and I think it's a way. It's like it's not too soon. But it's not too much to wait, so I still will be in form, and I still have this like energy that I get from this fight. So it's, I think it's 3-4 months. It's right timing for fight.
I hate myself that I'm asking you about this, but the only reason why I'm asking about it is because it's so big and because Amanda doesn't have any opponents that makes sense at 135 and 145. Does it get annoying for you when people keep talking to you about that fight? Like, I get the impression you want to stick around at 125 and defend the title and just be the queen of the flyweights, right? And not move anywhere. And yet we keep bringing it up, I think, because there aren't a lot of options at 125 for you and not a lot of options for her at 135 and 145. And so I'm just wondering, do you get annoyed when we keep asking you about this? You play it off very well, but I'm wondering if deep down you'd rather us not ask you about this.
No, not at all. Not at all. I cannot like say stop asking me this or that things. I think we have like freedom of thinking and asking whatever we want. And so I was thinking that she gonna have like next fight in 145 division, so probably she's gonna defend her title over there. Yes, I would like to defend, as I every time saying, defend my belt as much time as I can, because you know, finally I'm in my right, my own weight category where I feel exactly on the place when I don't have to struggle with like with bigger opponent and thinking, okay, I don't have enough weight. I'm not so big for them. as I'm saying, I was saying every time it was not difficult for me to fight in 135, but definitely it's kind of different when you are smaller fighter against someone bigger. If you are, for example, bigger fighter and going down to a lower weight class, it's different. You make you smaller, but when you are originally not that big, like from your nature, it's very like good to fight in your way, like own weight class. And I'm very happy that finally we have this opportunity. When I started to fight in UFC, it was 115 or 135. Choose. I didn't want to die in weight cut to go to 115. And of course, I choose 135. My walk weight is 135. And now, finally, I have this opportunity to show everything from me, all skills, all my power, everything that I have in the right weight class.
Will you be disappointed, though, at some point if you don't fight her again, if you don't get that chance to beat her? Is this something that you want? Maybe not now, but at some point in your career?
I think it's going to happen. I don't worry about this too much. I think it's going to happen in the future.
Okay. All right, but for now, perhaps a fight against Joanne Calderwood in 2 or 3 months. I know there was some talk of that fight happening in October. So for now, just enjoy it. It's unbelievable what you do. It really is, and it's incredible. I think you're top 10 best fighters on the planet, again, regardless of gender. I wonder if you agree with me. Do you feel like that's an accurate thing?
I'm very happy that you are saying it, and thank you so much for considering me on that level. And I will try to keep the same things to or make people think about me that things.
All right. Thank you. You continue to do that. You really do. Thank you so much for doing this, Valentina. Congratulations to you and the team on the great victory on Saturday and for always coming on the show after your big victories. We appreciate it very much. Enjoy your time off and looking forward to the next one.
Thank you so much, Ariel. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Same to you. There she is, the bullet, Valentina Shevchenko. Unbelievable performance on Saturday night against Caitlin Chookagian. What a win. And she stands alone atop the women's flyweight mountain. 5 victories now as a 125er, and she truly has found that perfect weight class for her. All right, before we get to Dominic Reyes, who's about to join us in a matter of seconds, let me tell you about our good friends over at ZipRecruiter. I like this music. What is this? It's a little Texas flair. It's nice. As you take a look at the
Fiesta type.
Oh, it's very nice, Corporate Jake. I like it. Getting in the mood. Oh, now it's picking up a little. These are the main card results from Saturday. We have the full card or just main card? Are we going to scroll through
these
or what?
Yep, you'll see it.
Ooh, look at you. All right. Well, here's ZipRecruiter. As you know, hiring good help is challenging. I know this very well. I mean, Corporate Jake, TST, New York Rick. I mean, do you see the people that I'm surrounded with? It's unbelievable. But there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. And growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. ZipRecruiter. Our friends. We love them. Let me tell you about Codable co-founder Gretchen Huebner. She experienced how challenging hiring can be after unsuccessfully searching for a new game artist to grow with her education tech company. But then she switched to ZipRecruiter and saw an immediate difference. How about that? And you can too by signing up for free right now at ZipRecruiter.com/MMA. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. No. Au contraire, mon frère, it finds them for you. And by using ZipRecruiter's screening questions to filter candidates, Gretchen found it easier to focus on the best ones, then find the right one. In fact, after posting her job on ZipRecruiter, Gretchen said she was honestly surprised she found qualified applicants so quickly. And she hired a new game artist in less than 2 weeks. How about that? With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Again, ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes right now. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/MMA. How about that? We got our own address, ZipRecruiter.com/MMA. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/MMA. All right. Now let's hear from the man that we've wanted to hear from the entire day. Dominic Reyes fought his heart out on Saturday. I thought he won that fight. I thought it was a close fight, but in the end, I thought he won 3-2. By the way, how about this tweet from Sean Alshadi, my former colleague at MMA Fighting and my lifelong friend, who tells us moments ago that the scorecards for Gustafson Jones won exact same as the scorecards for Reyes Jones. How about that? Like, by the round, by the number, all of it, the same. Incredible. I don't know how you found that, but that was great. Anyway, in the end, he lost the fight just like Gustafson did. I scored the Gustafson fight, by the way, for Jones. Reyes, I scored for Reyes. Unfortunate, but we hope that he'll be back, and we hope that he'll get a rematch sooner rather than later. Here's what he had to say after the fight, in the post-fight press conference.
Disappointment, first of all. I am proud of myself, though. You know, I went out there and fought with all my heart. You know, a goal for me for this fight was to make it an ESPN Instant Classic. I know I won that fight. I know I won that fight. I was in that fight. I don't have to watch the replay. I was there. I made John Jones look like just a man.
And now, without further ado, let us say hello to the king without a crown. Dominic Reyes, kind enough to join us from Houston before he heads back home to California. Dominic, I can't thank you enough. Appreciate you doing this.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me, Ariel.
So you handled that loss as well as anyone could possibly handle a loss like that. Heartbreaking loss. Again, I thought you won the fight, and we'll get into that in a second. But Saturday night, you were an absolute pro, all class. I'm just wondering, less than 48 hours later, how are you feeling now after the sort of limelight has gone away? How are you handling the loss less than 2 days later?
Pretty much the same way, man. I just keep replaying it over and over in my mind. It sucks, man. Do everything, you know, I felt like I did everything in my power to win that fight, and it just felt like somebody took it away from me.
Have you had the opportunity to rewatch it yet?
No. I rewatch 4 and 5, but I didn't watch 1 through 3 because I know I won that pretty handedly. And then in 4, I mean, I had them backed up as well. I mean, I had them hurt, so... I mean, it could have even been argued, you know, 4-1, but it's shitty. Just sucks. Sucks pretty bad, man. I mean, I worked incredibly hard for this. Like, my whole life was for this, you know, for this moment. I didn't get it.
Is there anything that you wish you did differently in the 4th and 5th to ensure that victory? I mean, obviously you don't know whether or not you're up or not, but when you watch those last two rounds, do you wish you could have done anything differently?
I wish I would have knocked him out.
Yeah.
I wish I would have finished the fight. But shit, man. I felt like I was being a little tactical there too at the end. I felt like I was winning and I didn't want to put myself in too much danger. I mean, you gotta be technical with the approach as well. But shit. Dang, those are crazy numbers.
They are, yes. And they would suggest that perhaps you did in fact win those first three rounds. And the round two is the one that really confuses me, the fact that so many of those judges gave it to John. The third one,
yeah.
But round two was as clear as can be, in my opinion. It's round one and round two, if I'm being honest.
I agree. I completely agree. For me, 1, 2, and 3 were home runs. You know, they were knockouts. I mean, I knocked it out of the park in those rounds. Shit, man. I don't know. It sucks. It sucks. I came out there and I fought a nearly perfect fight. And that's what it was going to take to beat this guy. And I did it, you know. For that night, I was better than John Jones. You know, I was a better fighter. And I didn't get, you know. Greatness is still just a round away, I guess.
That was the first time in your career you went 25 minutes. You had never gone past the third round, of course, fighting for the belt in the main event. Your fight against Weidman ended relatively early. How did you feel? How was your cardio in the 4th and 5th?
Oh, my cardio felt pretty good. I wasn't feeling like I had a wall or anything like that. I was just being a little more conservative in my approach. Because I am fighting John Jones. He's extremely dangerous. He has like, you know, crazy spins and stuff like that. So, I don't know. I was being a little more conservative in my approach, but I still was putting it on him, you know? Like, he was forcing me to beat him up in the 4th round. It's crazy. It's really crazy.
Any serious injuries?
Not that I know of yet. I'm getting some MRIs coming up when I get home, but as of right now, Nothing serious. Just I beat up my leg pretty bad, you know, smashing it into him. Mm-hmm. We were going at it. We were definitely hammering our body parts into each other. So it's going to take a little bit.
How about your nose?
Let's see.
It's all good?
Camera. That's all right.
All right. Did it break in the fight?
I'm not sure. It might have.
Because they were talking about how you were starting to breathe out of your mouth and during the broadcast and wondering if it was broken.
I had blood coming out of it.
Right.
It might be a little bit fractured, to be honest with you. I haven't really looked in the mirror a lot. I'm looking at your camera like it's the mirror right now.
But before they announced the scorecards, did you think for sure that you had it? And as they were announcing, even like the 49-46, was that confirmation in your mind like, oh, I got this?
Yeah. When I heard the 49-46, I was like, heck yeah, I won 4 rounds to 1. Hey, that sounds about right. And then it was the other way. I was like, what? Okay. You're going to do me like this? All right. I see you, Houston.
How do you like maintain your composure in that moment? You know, talking to Rogan, going to the press conference with a smile on your face. Obviously, you're upset, but how did you handle this so well?
To be honest, man, I've always been looking for the fight that's gonna like push me over the top. You know, really let me show my heart and really fight. For me, this fight was that I got to really show who I am as a fighter, and you know, and put my heart on the table. I said, you know, I did exactly what I said I was going to do. You know, I'm proud of my performance. I went out there and brought it to him from the opening bell. And I have a smile on my face and I'm happy because I'm not disappointed with my performance at all. It's the performances where you felt like you could have done more and you didn't, you know, give it your all. Those are the ones that really hurt. This one just sucks because, you know, felt like somebody, you know, took it from me. They weren't watching the same fight. And then one judge that scored it 49-46 said something like I wasn't advancing 90% of the fight or something like that. And historically, the fighter who doesn't advance or something like that doesn't win. I'm not a statistic, you know. This is you have to judge each fight individually by how the fight goes. And to fight Jones and beat Jones, you can't just fight a normal – it's not going to be a standard game plan. It has to be a very special game plan, which I brought. And I don't know. It was just – I really got not much to say about the whole judging of the situation. I just know it was messed up, man. It wasn't right.
And I do want to tell you one thing. I think you're referring to a Twitter account by Joe Solis, who had the controversial scorecard, also the controversial scorecard in the Trevin Giles, James Krause fight. I believe that's a troll account, so I wouldn't put too much stock into what that account has to say. To the best of my knowledge, that's not a real account. But he did give you a 49-46 scorecard in favor of John Jones, which is just mind-blowing to me, and the Trevin Giles one, and the Andre Ewell one earlier in the night as well. You know, one thing that's come up afterwards, and now that you've actually experienced this, I'm wondering if you have a take. One thing that's come up afterwards in the aftermath of this, and it has come up time and again after controversial fights, open scoring. So basically, at the end of each round, you know where you stand. You know how the judges scored it for you. Would you like that as a competitor? Would you like to know where you stand after each round?
In all honesty, I would. I would. Yeah. Just yes.
Yeah.
I really gotta. Just yes.
Well, you're a former athlete. You played football. You know where you stand, right? Going into the fourth, combat sports, yeah. The only sport out there that you don't know where you stand. And then you get, you know, situations like this. You can, you know, you could be upset in the moment. You look up and you say, wait, they gave it to him, but at least you know where you stand going into the important rounds. And so now the big question is, will they give it to you next? Will they give you the immediate rematch? Do you feel confident that that's what they're going to give you?
I believe so. If the fans put enough pressure on Jones, if they put enough pressure on the UFC and they want to see it, then I'm sure we'll get that rematch. I know I deserve it. I mean, it should be a rematch for, you know, him trying to get his belt back. That should be the rematch, but not. So we got to come get it back.
I was talking to someone who works for the UFC after the fight, and they told me that they were talking to you, and they said, you know, your stock went up, you have nothing to be ashamed of, you'll be back, all that stuff and more. And I couldn't help but think of Alexander Gustafsson after he fought John Jones at UFC 165. It took him 3 years to get that rematch. There are no guarantees in this sport. There are no guarantees that they're going to give you an immediate rematch. There's politics, there's money fights, all this stuff and more. And so that's what worries me, right? Like, I'm wondering when you hear people say that to you, oh, don't worry, you know, your stock went up. Stock went up doesn't put money in your bank account, right? That doesn't really change your life the way a win over John Jones changes your life. So when you hear people say that to you, how do you react?
You know, it is going to change my life though, man. You know, a lot of people got to see me for who I am, you know. A lot of people didn't really know a lot about me before this fight. They didn't know what I had in me. You know, and the respect that I gained around the world from this fight, you know, it does mean a lot to me. And the fans have showed a tremendous amount of support. And, yeah, the judges, it sucks. But the fans know who won. You know, I'm considering myself the people's champ right now. Huh. Everybody's really, you know, backing me on that. And, you know, the fans speak, you know, to make fights happen. You know, and we talk about politics and stuff like that, but I mean, when it really comes down to it, it's what the fans want. So the fans buy the fights, the fans kind of make things happen. And I think we'll make it happen.
In five
days,
not,
you know,
go ahead.
If not, the next guy I'm fighting is, you know, going to get messed up.
But to be clear, you want the immediate rematch, right?
I do, absolutely. I mean, after, you know, healing up and all that. Of
sure.
course, but, would like an immediate rematch, yes.
Dana White say anything to you after the fight?
Yeah, he said, fantastic performance. You're the future of the division. You went out here and made a believer of everyone. And, yeah. We'll talk about the future after I'm healed up and after I take this vacation.
Okay. And what about John? What did he say to you in the cage after the fight?
He was just very complimentary on my performance. He said I shocked him. He didn't really expect that from me. And he thanked me for making him a better martial artist. And yeah, he said our rematch is going to be epic.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Corey Anderson and Jan Blachowicz are fighting in 5 days. Any concern one of those guys does something spectacular that they will leapfrog over you?
Hey, man, there's nothing more spectacular than beating John. I made that happen.
This is probably the least of your worries, but John Jones has never been knocked down in a UFC fight, and I feel like they robbed you of that as well. In the first round, you knocked him down with that punch to the chest, and they called it a slip. That annoys me. Did you know this?
I didn't know that. I didn't know they didn't call it a knockdown. That's pretty messed up. I clearly knocked him right on his butt.
Right.
Like he went from standing to sitting. So, I mean, that's knocked down. Whether it's a face shot or not, I mean, shit, man. Crazy. Putting up those stats, that's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild.
No, you represented, man. You fought the fight of your life. At any point, did you think that he was, quote-unquote, on the ropes? Like when you were coming at him with that flurry after the knockdown or perhaps in the second round, did you feel like he could take a punch, man? He can really take a punch. He probably doesn't get enough credit for that. Thiago Santos hit him with some big punches. You hit him
Absolutely.
With big punches. But did you ever think that you had him, that you were going to, you know, you were going to finish him or on the verge of finishing him?
First of all, shout out to John. You know, his chin was, you know, amazing in this fight. He really doesn't get enough credit for his chin. I was hitting him with some bombs. I mean, and he knows it. We know it. I mean, so shout out to John for his chin. But I did feel like I had him on the ropes a few times, actually, when I was just kind of stalking him down, landing shots out, shot after shot. You know, I landed a head kick, was pretty nice. It knocked the sweat off his head. So, I mean, took some shots, man. And I had him, I know I had him on the ropes. That's why it hurts even more because I know he was hurt. And like, as a fighter, like, you know how the rounds go. You know exactly what happened. He knows I won. Deep down in his heart, he knows I won.
Mm.
So, at him, you know, being John Jones, you know, great martial artist himself, I feel like he would want a rematch for his own, you know, for his own, like his own mind, knowing that I won that fight.
I know this is your first time fighting him, but you've been watching him for a long time. Now being in there with John, anything surprise you about actually being in the cage with him, feeling his power, feeling his game? Anything that you didn't expect or that you learned about him that you didn't know about?
The biggest thing that surprised me was his toughness.
Mm.
His just incredible toughness. Like I was ripping the body, and he was just – he had quite the poker face, man. So – that shocked me the most, was his toughness.
Do you think he slowed down? Do you think he is ripe for the taking? I mean, obviously in your mind, you think you beat him, but do you feel like when you're in there with this guy, he's not the John Jones of 2011, 2012, 2013?
Well, I think he is still that guy. I think he was a better version of that guy. Just I'm a better version of anybody he's ever fought. I've been saying that throughout the entire fight, and people laughing at me and not understanding. Listen, man, this is a new era. This is a new time. I'm not a guy that – I'm completely different. I said it so many times, and I proved it on Saturday. It's one of those things that's hard to explain. We as a division are getting much, much better. If you look at, you know, traditional sports, even football, guys that are successful now would have destroyed back in the day, you know. So it's kind of – times are changing. Everybody's getting better.
What was Sunday morning like when you woke up after that? Did it feel like a bad dream? How did you react?
True story, I didn't go to sleep, man. I didn't sleep until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I just couldn't sleep.
Wow.
Replaying it over and over again. My legs are a little, they hurt a little bit. So it's like the price of fame, man.
Right.
Sacrifice my mind. The hardest way to make an easy living. That's what we say.
That's right. And so where do you go from here? You go back home and you say you're going to take some time off?
Yeah, I'm going to take a little bit of time off, get on a beach somewhere, and just enjoy life a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, this has been probably the craziest 2 months of your life, right? From that press conference and the buildup, going through your first UFC title fight against arguably the greatest ever, and having that fight. What a whirlwind, right? You probably just want to catch your breath a little bit.
Yeah, I went straight from the Weidman fight, like pretty directly after that fight. We had the presser for the Jones fight. So, I mean, it was like about 3 months turnaround. You know, from beating Weidman to now fighting Jones and beating Jones, but, you know, not officially. And, man, it sucks. It just sucks, man.
How would you feel if he went up to heavyweight next?
If he went up to heavyweight?
Yeah.
I'd be a little disappointed for me. But his career, his choices. But I definitely want a rematch.
Right. And even, I mean, if the UFC says we want you to fight one other guy, would you be open to that? Or are you going to, you know, you're going to stand strong on this one?
We'll see what happens, man. I mean, we'll see what happens.
Okay. And last thing for you, what has it been like? I know you've been online a little bit. Sometimes the fans can be ruthless. I would imagine in this particular case, they've been very supportive. What has it been like? What are the things you have read and seen? And is there anything in particular? Did anyone reach out to you, a legend of the game? Did anyone send you a text or something that really lifted your spirits?
Oh, just everyone, man. I have so much support online and through text messages and everything. The support I have is just crazy. Man, it's been awesome. I'm the people's champ, man. Everyone who saw that fight knows I won. Apparently the judges weren't watching the fight, so it's just what it is.
Thank you for doing this, Dominic. Congratulations on a phenomenal fight. Truly, it was amazing to watch. And again, I thought you won the first three, and I'd love to see it again. Typically, I don't like when the UFC gives an immediate rematch to a challenger who lost a title fight and the champion retains. But in this particular case, I would love to see it. And I think it's the right thing to do, and I think they should do it. So I hope for your sake that you get what you deserve. Thank you very much before flying out for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. Get well soon, my man. And great job representing yourself and your community as well on the biggest stage possible. You handled that with the utmost class. Well done.
Thank you so much, Ariel. And thank you, you know, to all my supporters. And yeah, man, love you guys.
So there you have it. Great stuff from Dominic Reyes. Really impressive. I know I talk about this a lot, but I'm just so impressed with the way in which these men and women deal with these situations. Because what we don't understand is if you lose the NBA Finals, I mean, that is heartbreaking and I get it, but it doesn't directly impact your pay, your life. Your life changes dramatically if you win that fight. You get a new contract, you get more money, you get more sponsors. And so there's this moment where you're like, I'm right there, and then I'm not right there, and now I have to work my my way back up, and to handle it that way is pretty darn impressive if you ask me. So, in a matter of seconds, we're going to be joined by, the head coach for one, Johnny Bones Jones. Worth noting, by the way, that John Jones made history on Saturday, and it's kind of been forgotten a little bit, because of, you know, how hotly contested this fight was, but he did win his 14th UFC title fight. That is now a record. He was tied with GSP, and he also extended his unbeaten streak to 18. And that is a record as well. So a huge night for John Jones. He spoke about that after the fight.
It feels surreal, man. I think I had a moment just a second ago. I shed some tears. I think it really hit me. Yeah, and it's amazing, man. It's amazing, man. I get to be up there with some of history's greats, man, at the end of the day. And what a way to get it, too, man, in a hard-earned victory. You know what I mean? Like, I embraced the grind. I embraced the suck. And I was just a little bit more tough than he was. Those last rounds, man, that's what it's all about. That's the grind, you know. That's what most people don't ever want. And people will do anything to stay away from that type of feeling. And that's what makes me different.
And now let's say hello to a man who was in John Jones's corner, has been by his side for so many years. He was there on Saturday night. He is the head man over at Jackson Wink. He is Coach Mike Winklejohn. Mike, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Errol.
Good to talk to you again. So the biggest question of them all, of course, is, I think, how did you score the fight? So let me ask you, if you can, I know you're in the midst of it all and you're kind of focused on a lot of things, but did you think that John won that fight?
Yes, I did. I thought we had 3 rounds to 2. You know, it was one of the things that we discussed in the corner, you know, amongst the coaches, and we all felt pretty good that we were up 3-2, but you never know. I really wanted John to keep putting the pressure on him, and of course, we always want to finish. And John sucked it up and went for it. I'm still proud of him.
Which rounds did you score in favor of John?
I had 2, 4, and 5.
Okay.
3 was real close. 2 and 3 were those ones where, like, yeah, you know, they're close. That's how I had it.
And in the first round, what are you thinking? There was a moment where it appeared as though maybe Dominic knocked him down very briefly. He got back up. He you know, he came after him with the flurry. What are you thinking? Is this going not exactly the way you expected?
Oh, that scared the shit out of me, to tell you the truth, because Dominic's back was to me. So when he hit John, I didn't know if that hit his chin or not. So for a flash of a second, I was thinking, we got a shit storm coming right now. We got to figure this out. But it was his chest. He bounced right back up. And then I had to do a lot of pressure from Dominic. Dominic came, you know, he looked real hungry. He was pacing back and forth. And we figured he was going to come out on fire. And he did. Holy crap. Nothing but my hats off to that young man.
Did he surprise you? Did you not think that he would fight that way?
He surprised me that he would hit John as quick as he did. There's no doubt. We knew the left hand. We knew he has the left kick. But we know he has great takedown defense. He can throw uppercuts real well. He does everything real well. I mean, he's just it's his mental state that takes him so far that I was so impressed with. He's mentally very strong, and he takes damage and keeps coming right back. And because John was putting on him as well. And nothing but respect and wish for his best luck in the future. There's no doubt about it.
So you say that you thought that he won, that John won the second round. What did you say to him in between the first and second to try to get him back on track?
You know, I really wanted John to get back on his kicking range a little bit. He was throwing wide. He threw wide on that roundhouse kick. And that's where Dominic came back in. I want John to stay unpredictable with his feet and move in with his elbows. And I really wanted to get the takedown in on the fight. So I really wanted to push him against the cage and do some damage there. Dominic's not stupid, though. I'll tell you what, he uses his movement very well. Would try to catch John here and there coming in. John kept working on that body, and John did his thing. But, gosh, what a nerve-wracking fight. But John won the fight, and I'm still proud of him.
What about Reyes' takedown defense? Were you expecting that? Were you expecting him to be able to thwart off that many takedowns? And even when John got him down, he was able to get right back up.
Oh, yeah. You know what? His hips are a lot stronger than most people would think. We knew it was good. I mean, he's been in the game a long time, and I'm sure he worked relentlessly on how to defend what John does. But it was his ability to keep John from lifting him get him in bad position. John's had his back a couple times. I was real impressed with how well Dominic could defend everything. And at the same time, it made both gas quite a bit. I was hoping that would gas out Dominic even more than it did. But that young man trained his butt off because he was in great shape.
Somewhat reminiscent of the first Alexander Gustafsson fight, John really digs down deep in the fourth and fifth round, and he's able to secure the victory by his performance in those two rounds in particular. What did you see out of him, especially when you're sitting and talking to him in the fourth and fifth, because it seemed like that's the moment right there, like the fight was up in the air, right? He could have gone one way or the other, and I thought the fifth round was his best round of them all. Was there anything in particular that he said to you that you said to him in between those fourth and fifth rounds?
You know, John knows what to do. Of course, I throw ideas at him, a lot of tactics at him, and Greg gets calmed down and does a lot of tactics as well, but John knows what to do. He knew he had to just keep pressuring, keep breaking him down, keep imposing his will, and he did. And John's a scary man when he's throwing things at you from different directions and he keeps hitting you in the body, hitting you with those legs. Those things are just tearing people down constantly. And you need to, because the other guy's trying to punch in the head real hard and give you brain damage. So you just have to constantly just keep working on these guys and breaking them down. And that's what John did.
So there is a line of thinking out there, and I'll be 100% transparent with you. I scored the fight for Dominic. I thought he won the first, second, and third round, but I think it's very close. And I don't consider it a robbery per se. When you're really coming down to one round, that's the dissenting round, I think that can't be a robbery. But I want to be, you know, very transparent. You disagree? I had the first, second, and third for Dominic.
Oh, I definitely disagree with that. You know, like I said, even the third could have went to John. There's no doubt about it. You know what it is when John starts backing up, sometimes people will touch him. The power's not there, but it looks bad. Uh-huh. Those are places where sometimes those things look bad a little bit. But here's the deal. John's at the top of the world. So when he gets hit, everybody's like, oh, my God, it's over. He got hit. And people overreact to some things a little bit. When he catches other people, like, oh, it's no big deal. John Jones has hit him. Look how tough he is. So the opponent always gets credit for being tough. I'm not saying Dominic wasn't tough. Don't get me wrong. He was so tough. But John just, when something doesn't go his way, it's like, John all of a sudden is the worst thing in the world because people are not used to seeing that. Dominic brought it. He did that to John, so he did really well.
The one thing that I've learned about John over the past year or so that I wasn't sure I knew about prior to this run that he's on, this man has a chin. Holy smokes. He could take a punch. Wow. Like, that's a hard thing to, you can't really learn that per se. It's just, you got it or you don't. Did you always know? Like, Santos and Reyes punched him with some heavy, heavy punches, and he just takes them and hardly gets rocked. Did you know that was in him?
Oh, yeah. We knew that he could take a good punch. I don't want him to prove that to the world.
Sure.
But, he's taken good punches. We saw that with Thiago. And Dominic cracked him. I think most men would have went down from those punches. Dominic can't hit. He's got a lot of heat in his strikes. There's no doubt about it. We knew he can take a good punch, but I want to stop doing that and proving that to the world as much as possible.
So now there's this line of thinking that John is slowing down, that he's beatable, that he's hittable, that he's not as dominant as he once was. What do you make of that narrative and people saying that, especially in the aftermath of this fight?
I can't even say John had an off night. You know what? I think Dominic just had a great night, and Dominic came. Dominic put it on him. You know, I think that everybody always is looking for this guy in the top to fall. I think that the young guys are coming along. They're all starting to implement a lot of things that he's used, and other things they're seeing. I think everybody in the sport's getting that much better, that much faster, and it's exciting to see what the future is going to have to hold. John's going to go back to work. We're going to watch some tape here a little bit later on tonight, and the team. And decide how we're going to improve on what we're doing already to stay at the top of the game. And John will. He'll stay at the top of the game. The rematch will be good for us, just like it was for Gustafsson, because we have a better idea of what Dominic can or can't do. And no one like John can figure things out. He's just a student of the game until the end. And you know, with Greg Jackson, a lot of the guys we have in the corner, you can't beat the knowledge.
When you say rematch, do you think that's next? Like, do you think they're going to do it right away?
I don't know. You know, that's all up to, I'm sure that's up to money and what UFC wants to do. John's into anything. John doesn't turn down fights. It's whatever UFC wants to do. I know us as coaches want to be prepared for whatever comes up and start putting them on the right path to make it even a better fight next time for us than it was this time. It was a great fight. I'm not saying it was not a great fight, but I like the dominant performances. The less damage we take, the better for us. And that's the kind of fight I like to have for John Jones from now on to the end of his career.
If he came up to you and said, Coach, who do you want to see me fight next? What do you say?
Oh, I don't even know. You know, I guess I have to talk to him about where he's at. In my heart, I know John he likes the big challenges. So he would like a big challenge of rematching Dominic Reyes. He had like a big challenge of getting a heavyweight title. The big fights always challenge John to motivate him to train that much harder than the lesser than fights. So whatever the big challenge is, I'm sure that's what motivates John Jones.
And so I know that before the fight, he was openly talking about heavyweight and Stipe. After what happened on Saturday, does that give you any pause? Do you still feel like that's in his future plans, or would you like to see him stick around at 205 now?
Oh, you know what? I think Stipe and those guys are fantastic, and Dominic are and Daniel are fantastic fight for John at heavyweight. The speed's not there like Dominic Reyes. That kid can move around so much. He has a different threat than everybody else. Heavyweight's a little bit different, a little bit slower. Yes, they hit hard, but John's got a good chin. So it's a speed versus power game. I think John does just fine at heavyweight, as well as continue to dominate a light heavyweight. In fact, I think he's going to dominate heavyweight. I'm in John Jones corner to the end, and I believe he is the greatest of all time, and I don't know if anybody's ever going to knock him off or beat that record down the road in the future.
Do you like the idea of him fighting at heavyweight next?
I'm sorry, you know what? You cut out me there.
Sorry. Do you like the idea of him fighting at heavyweight next?
Oh, you know what? It just depends on time, our time frame, how much time we have to put muscle mass on, if that's what we find that we need to do versus speed, depending on the opponent. So it's all about time and the opponent. So there's a lot of moving pieces to any of those, along with what motivates John Jones. So we have to get in John's head and make sure that we're supporting him with what he wants to do. I'm okay with going either direction.
Okay. And one thing that's come up on today's show and in the aftermath of this fight is open scoring. You're a veteran of the game. How do you feel about open scoring? Do you understand the concept? Basically, after the conclusion of every round, we would know who's up, who the judges scored the round for, so the fighters know going into the third or fourth and fifth who's up, who's not. How do you feel about this?
I actually kind of like it. I think it'd be great because I've seen some really goofy discussions. And it would bring it out on the fighters. They know going to the last round, they either have to knock the guy out or whatever the case is. You kind of know what's going on, and you fight accordingly. I think it's a fantastic thing, honestly, and it would hold the judges accountable, make sure there's no shenanigans behind
right.
the scenes.
Yeah.
kind of like it quite a bit.
Okay. And by the way, do you have a health update on John? Like, how is he feeling? I know he was kind of walking gingerly afterwards. Is he okay? Any serious injuries?
Oh, no, not at all. You know what? His shins were banged up a little
right.
bit. Checking those kicks that Dominic threw at him. No, he was walking just fine. He's fine now. You know what? Gosh, anybody that's had a lot of kicks come to those legs, they understand, it's like, ow, that crap hurts, and everything's sore for a while. You know, it just there's a little bit of swelling going on. But, no, John's absolutely fine. I'm sure if he wants to start training, he can start training right away.
You mentioned being a little nervous in the middle of the fight. Have you ever been that nervous for a John Jones fight?
I've been that nervous, too. You know, Gustman coming in and taking us down right off the bat. I wasn't worried about the takedown, but, of course, I was worried about John. I got to get that takedown back and getting tired doing so. So those two, probably the most, well, I take it back. You know, I get nervous at any time John fights. Daniel Cormier, with his power and his ability, always you know, catches on edge. Thiago, oh, my gosh, that's one guy's one punch away from your head exploding. So, no, I'm nervous in all of John Jones' fights. Really thinking about making sure if it's going to say the right thing, the right kind of advice, talking to the rest of the team, saying, guys, what do you think, getting everybody's input, and hopefully making the proper decision.
Is it true that John Jones has trouble with taller opponents?
No, I don't think that's true at all. You know what? I think it depends on the opponent. Gustin and Dominic Reyes are just two bad boys out there. Everybody poses something different. You know, you get Daniel Cormier and guys that can move their head and get in the real small stature. There's less targets to hit. And when they hit hard and they wrestle real well. So everybody, it's just different styles. John beats them all. And it just depends on which individual is in that body type.
And by the way, I wanted to ask you about this. I had the opportunity, and I appreciate you opening the doors to us at your gym, Jackson Wink in Albuquerque, less than 2 weeks ago to interview John Jones. And I learned about your incredible MMA program, which was amazing. You know, we were there for a few hours waiting for John, and I got to see some of the students in action with some of your fighters. When did you start this? And for those that don't know about it, could you tell us what it's all about?
You know what? It's a place after my own heart. I have a daughter with special needs, Autumn, and MMA has changed her life. Now she teaches at one of my gyms, and what I've noticed is so many kids that have special needs, they just want to be normal. They just want to do normal things. And this, I would be silly to not use what I have available to motivate and help these kids, you know, get better. Their therapists are so dang smart, but sometimes they can't motivate them. But you bring them to this environment with all these world-class fighters and cages and bags, and all of a sudden they're motivated to do things that normally they won't do. And they're coming out of their shells. They're building their confidence. They're feeling normal about some things. And they got smiles on their faces. It's a great thing. It works for my fighters as well, because fighters can't feel sorry about themselves. They look at others that have were dealt these really bad cards in life, and they're playing that hand so well in life. So it's something big. It's called Incredible Adaptive MMA. It's free for the students to come to. It's self-funded, or we do a lot of fundraisers, those type of things. We don't have any government funds, but if anybody wants to help us out with it, please look us up, Incredible Adaptive MMA, and it's just good stuff. Look it up on Instagram under Incredible MMA, and you'll see some really neat things that are some really special people having fun.
Yeah, and I want to let people know it's INCREDABLEMMA, so not the incredible, if you will.
Heather, she started the program, and she says, I want to show everybody these people are able to do great things. And so that was part of the name.
How long have you been doing it for?
About 2 years now.
2 years.
So
amazing.
We've had the nonprofit 2 years, but we've been doing it for, you know, many, many, many years.
Amazing. And you actually have your actual pros in there with these kids, right? Not just, you know,
all employees. I have a lot of pros that especially, you know, need extra income and stuff. So I make sure they get paid so they show up. I make sure that it makes the best experience for all these kids. But a lot of my pros, John Jones, Holly Holm, so many of them just got down their hands and knees and just held mitts for them and start wrestling with them. And they help each other. And it's a neat thing to see. MMA fighters are not about close the cage door and they're all these violent guys. Usually the nicest, gentlest people in the world that care for others. And I want the world to see that.
Yeah, that's some great footage that we just aired, and I suggest everyone check out the Instagram page. If I could ask you before I let you go, if you can give John Jones a grade for his performance on Saturday, what would you give him? If you were the teacher giving the student a grade on his paper, what would you say?
I'm giving him A+. You know what? He dug down, and I just posted something John said about embracing the suck. That's what he did, and that makes up for, okay, maybe you should have done this, maybe you should have done that, but it's very easy to be the Monday morning quarterback. But in the fight, he embraced it. He pushed, he dug down, and that's why he's a world champion.
Well done. Congratulations to you and the team, Coach. I really appreciate you guys coming on.
Thanks for having me, Ariel.
All right. Thank you. There he is. Coach Mike Winklejohn, always gracious with his time. Always great to have him on. Always great to have his insight on the program. And again, want to reiterate, that was a great fight. That was an instant classic. I know that Dominic, we played the clip of him saying he wanted that ESPN instant classic. I think he got one. And of course you want to walk away as the victor when you're involved in a fight like that. But make no mistake about it. I mean, that was a great fight to see John Jones in that kind of position, to see him, potentially up against the ropes. Look, I was a little bit surprised when they announced the scorecards, but I will be honest. I know that we're in Texas. And Texas has some explaining to do. And this is my main issue with the commissions. Even in the NBA, on Friday night, we saw Damian Lillard in the NBA get screwed because of a no-call goaltending against the Jazz, Rudy Gobert. Very clear. It was a goaltend. They should have counted it. They costed them the game. They're in the playoff hunt, all that stuff. Even after the fact, even though the referees don't do interviews and things like that, they still issue some kind of statement to a pool reporter to explain their actions, to explain their decision-making, to explain where they're coming from. There's none of that in combat sports. You'll get the odd guy. You'll get the odd, you know, Herb Dean, Big John back in the day, the odd guy here or there. But for the most part, the referees are encouraged not to speak. And the majority of the time, the officials, the commissioners, the judges, they never speak. And so that's what we're talking about when we're talking about accountability. Like that judge, Solis, who scored it 49-46 or gave Trevin Giles that first round against James Krause, you need to explain how you came to that conclusion. And I see people saying like, look, you know, the second round, the second round thing is kind of blowing my mind right now. I watched it again. I watched the second round twice, believe it or not, because when I did the post-fight wrap-up with Brett, He also said the second round. And when I spoke to Mark Raimondi, he also said he scored the second round for John. And I was like, am I seeing things here? Am I crazy? So I watched it twice. And I don't understand how anyone can give the second round to John Jones. I don't. I think we have the stats. I posted them yesterday. Let me pull them up here before we get to Diego Sanchez, who's fighting on that card this weekend in Rio Rancho. Second round. First round, Dominic Reyes, 23 of 59, 38%. 23 of 59 total strikes, also 23 of 59 significant strikes. Jones, 17 of 27. I haven't seen a lot of people say that John Jones won the first. Correct me if I'm wrong, I haven't seen anyone. Second round, Dominic Reyes, 33 of 68. John Jones, 22 of 37. Now again, I want to be the first to say, or maybe the last, you can't just go by the numbers. You have to watch the fight. You have to see what kind of damage is inflicted. You have to see what's going on in the fight. But, you know, we're just looking at the numbers here, and I'm looking at the output, and I know what he did in the fight, and I know what he did in those rounds, and that's why it's a little baffling. Third round for Dominic Reyes, 26 of 45, 27 of 46 total strikes, and John Jones, 19 of 34 significant strikes, 20 of 35. And that's the one that people say is close, and I say it's close. By the way, John Jones, 0 of 2 as far as takedown attempts are concerned, and I hear this a lot. In the end, Jones got 2 takedowns total. In the fourth, he got 1, and in the fifth, he got 1 as well. But I hear this a lot from a lot of people, like, hey, you know, you got the takedown. But the takedown, if you're not doing anything on the ground, if you're not inflicting any damage, is kind of a moot point. It's just a change in position. Like, I hear people talking about the takedown. Oh, well, you know, he stole the round with the takedown. If you take someone down at the end of a round and he pops back up, that's nothing. No damage, no impact. Impact is a word they like to use. They don't like damage. There's nothing there. Nothing at all. Now, if you take someone down and slam them and they get hurt, okay, maybe that's a little different. But these particular takedowns didn't really do anything. Am I wrong? Didn't do anything at all. And it's definitely true that later on in the fight, third, fourth, fifth, John was a lot more aggressive, brought the fight to Dominic. But unless you're actually inflicting damage, if there's impact involved in that aggressiveness, there's nothing really going on. That's not worth much. I thought Dom looked tired in the fourth and fifth. No doubt about that. Talked about his nose being a little messed up. He wasn't sure. But honestly, I watched it again, and I didn't see anything. I didn't see anything differently. I love this open scoring idea, and I wonder if it's going to gain any traction. And I think we'll have more on that on ESPN.com later in the day. But I like this a lot. The more I think about it, I get what Derek Lewis was saying, but this idea that you're going to get on your bicycle and ride around the cage is hogwash. It really is. Like, I'm just putting myself in these fighters' position. If I'm fighting for my life and there's life-changing money on the line, right? Life-changing money on the line. Wouldn't I want to know where I stand going into the final round? Wouldn't I want to know if I need to swing for the fences? I mean, it's a great point. I think it was from James Krause earlier in the day. Imagine watching a basketball game for 2 hours. Over time, you're going to lose track of who's winning. Imagine watching a football game, a baseball, you're going to lose track. Hockey, maybe not so much. Soccer, you could probably do it, you know, on one hand. But you get the point. Certainly basketball. It's tough. Imagine if we knew. Dramatic pause, 10-9 Reyes. Ooh, now let's go to the next round, see what happens. I kind of like it. Do I think it's going to happen anytime soon across the country? Probably not, but I don't hate it. All right, now let's turn our attention to the UFC Rio Rancho card coming up this Saturday. Second time the UFC is in New Mexico. First time Zuffa is in Rio Rancho since February of 2008. And of course, if you come to New Mexico, you have to have New Mexico's own Diego Sanchez on the card. And he is on the card going up against Michelle Pajeda. Now, we spoke to Diego when this fight was first announced, but some other stuff has come up recently. And so we wanted to have him back on the program to join us. Diego, how are you?
Hey, what's up, Ariel? How's it going? I'm doing great.
And who are we joined by as well?
Well, you know, my manager, Joshua Favia, you know, he's right here by my side at all times.
All right. I just wanted you to introduce him to the world in case they didn't know. Good to have you on the show, Diego, again. And I'm looking forward to this fight on Saturday. And it's always fun when you get a chance to fight in your home state. But as I mentioned, just a couple of weeks ago, we found out that you had actually been retroactively suspended by USADA because two banned substances were found in your system in a out-of-competition drug test several months ago, Austrian and S23. Now, this suspension is retroactive to when you actually took the test, so it does not preclude you from fighting on Saturday against Michelle Pajeda, but I wanted to get your side of the story because they said that this came as a result of contaminated supplements. So what exactly happened here?
Well, first of all, the whole point of this interview is to create a public awareness of supplements and the industry and what's really out there. These supplement companies, they're not honest. It is a billion-dollar industry, and they're putting stuff in there that the normal average Joe would never know. You don't have USADA coming to test you, you know, and so you take a supplement, you know, you do your research, you buy a supplement online like I did. You know, for instance, the supplements that I bought was arachidonic acid, which is an omega-6 fatty acid that Thorne supplements and the UFC supplements that are provided and USADA approved do not provide. The other supplement was actually called epicachin, and this is a natural fentanyl antioxidant. And so, you know, you got two things that are just, you know, an antioxidant and a fatty acid. You know, I'm always looking for a natural way to anti-age, a natural way to stay in this game longer. I started doing this way back in the day under the tutelage of Randy Couture on The Ultimate Fighter, watching this old man just outdo me in workouts. I was like, man, if I could learn how to stay young and take care of myself naturally, I can stay around longer and eventually fulfill my destiny. And so I just want to let people know out there that be careful. You know, you think you need this supplement. It is something that is sold to you. You're told that you're not good enough the way you are. You need this supplement for better brain activity. Oh, you need this supplement for increased anabolic metabolism. You need this supplement to burn more fat. You need this protein to build more muscle. You need. When actually all you really need to do is eat, you know, and this is something that I had to find out the hard way. I ordered some supplements online and turned out the company that I ordered the supplements from, they actually have a track record. And this has been going on for a long time. And there's a lot of people out there that don't know. You are just a normal person trying to get some results at the gym. You buy a supplement and you know what? You feel a little stronger. You feel a little better. And then you know what? You go back to that website again and you purchase more and you purchase more. But what about that human being? What about that person out there who may have a mental illness or a chemical imbalance or something that is wrong with them? You know, maybe they're just really, really overweight and they got bad heart. You know, they're just, you know, people like this die from taking this stuff. And this is something that we're dealing with. The company, I cannot disclose the name of the company. I've been seen not to say too much because I am in the process of being justified. I will get my justification because, first of all, Ariel, I was never suspended by anybody. This is all just words getting twisted and turned. I was actually sanctioned. It is a three month sanction. And I'm on this interview to tell everybody right now, I am a natural athlete, always have been natural. If you haven't realized, I am the David in the Goliath division. I am the smallest man in the welterweight division. I am the guy stepping up for the sport of mixed martial arts in the UFC, not just this generation, but the next generation. you know, the weight cutting, this is a bunch of garbage. You're dehydrating your brain. You're killing you're killing all your cells. You're just you're ringing yourself out. And I did this. I even made 145. I know. I suffered losses. I suffered knockouts due to going into the octagon unhealthy. And I know and I understand that the UFC and the mixed martial arts organizations, yeah, they like their fighters to look all super ripped. Well, that ain't natural, man. People aren't supposed to look super, super, super ripped. It's not a thing, you know? We can be healthy. We could be natural looking and do successful things in the octagon. And I'm just here, man, and I'm excited about my fight. You know, I get a fight. There's been a lot of stress on my plate under USADA coming to test me every single day, all the time, blah, 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 blah. You know, just the fact that I didn't know if I was going to even be able to fight. I had to continue my training camp day in, day out, with all this stress on added to my plate. And here I am. It's fight week. It's go time. I'm ready. But I'm a good person, and I'm not a cheater. And I'm changing the game. I'm going in there, Ariel. I walk around at 174, between 174 and 171. I fight at 170. This is something that no one else is doing. And I'm standing up for this. I'm going to show all those young fighters that it can be done. By a 38-year-old, yeah, it can be done naturally. And there ain't no more supplements for me anymore. I'm done with the supplement industry. I'm done with taking supplements. I'm just going to eat healthy, drink water, and work hard. Meditate like I always do, like the shirt says, mind over matter. And anything else, Ariel?
Yeah. I appreciate that response. I appreciate you clearing it up. And that was actually my next question. If you are now going cold turkey, so you're not going to take anything at all whatsoever, just natural foods and that's it. No pills, no supplements. Even if approved by USADA and the UFC, you have no interest.
You know, I'll look into what USADA and UFC provides for us. Obviously, this is going to be the only supplements that us UFC fighters can take. But it's not about me and the UFC fighters, Ariel. I'm not just about my selfish self. I'm talking about all the human beings out there in the world running this $90 billion industry. This is a sham, man. The whole supplement industry is a sham. It's just people wanting to get rich off of other people and not really caring about those other people. So all you supplement industries out there, I'm not looking for a sponsorship. So I can go out here and say this, be on the real, on the real. It's not going to really help you that much. It's the hard work. It's the sacrifice. It's the dedication. It's the getting a good night's rest. It's the going inside yourself, inside your mind, and exploring yourself. That's going to get the job done.
For someone who prides himself on being clean and for having that reputation, when this first came out, did it mess with you? How did you handle it, not knowing where it came from? You have to test the supplements and all this stuff. And sometimes people just read, oh, suspended or sanctioned, and they put labels on you. How did you deal with it? And how are you dealing with it still to this day?
Well, I'll tell you, it was a heavy stress, but you know, that's life, and you got to go through this, get to it. And now I realized, you know, I can't be taking anything, and you got to be careful out there, people, because there is people out there that are selling these supplements, and you don't know what you're getting because you're not getting tested. You're not getting tested. You really truly don't know. Like, there's no way of knowing. You might be thinking you're taking a pill of caffeine. You might be taking a pill of like meth or something. Seriously, there is no regulating body that checks this stuff. There is nobody out there that checks this stuff. And there is a very crooked world that we're living in. And so be careful out there, people. You don't want to end up, you know, laying on your floor, overheating. wondering why I feel like I'm about to die. You know, then you go to sleep, you don't wake up in the morning. This is happening. And I'm here today to create an awareness to all you regular people out there that feel so compelled because you see all these fit bodies on Instagram. You see all these big booties, these six packs, these oversized muscles. Like, you know, that's a normal sized muscle, all right? You don't have to have a huge old ball. Like, this is not the way humans were created to be. This is just all an illusion that started back with Arnold Schwarzenegger in the 80s. And now we got this whole Instagram world working so hard to get their butt bigger and their biceps bigger. And, oh, no, you don't got a six-pack? Oh, you're fat. That's some bullshit, Ariel. And the world needs to change.
Hmm. Well said. And so do you feel like the UFC helped you in this particular instance? Like, did they have your back? Did they help you navigate through this? Did you feel like you at least got the help that you were looking for?
Absolutely. You know, Jeff Novinsky and Donna Spalding had my back. They were with me through it day in, day out, texting, calling, just on me, making sure. And, you know, I'm just going to tell you guys right now, I was really lucky that I took about half of these bottles of these supplements, and I had a gut feeling about it. I only took about half, and I was off season, and thank God that I kept them, because if I didn't keep them, I'd be on a 2-year suspension right now. So I actually had them in my pantry at my house. I had the supplements still. I had to really go deep inside myself for a couple of days, because at first I didn't know. I'm like everybody else, trying all kinds of different supplements natural supplements. You know, I got a bunch of vitamins, this, that. I've been doing it my whole career. You look back on The Ultimate Fighter, and you're going to see me with a big bag full of supplements. Go look back on The Ultimate Fighter. You'll see it. Those who remember, you're going to see me with a big bag full of supplements. And so this is something that was instilled in me. I was sold on it too. And as I was on the internet doing research, I was sold on a nice packaging label. I was sold on, oh, look, this is a new antioxidant. This is a new antioxidant that, you know, maybe it'll give me an edge. Maybe it's going to help me recover a little bit. Because this is actually why I was taking these two supplements, was for recovery. And because I'm 38 years old and I train my ass off like nobody else. So, yes, I was taking some supplements for recovery. And, thank God I snapped and I had them. And the universe is on my side, and now I'm here giving this interview, speaking to all the youth out there that thinks they need to take supplements, that they don't. You don't need to take this garbage. You don't need to take more protein. You really don't. You just need to eat and work hard, drink some water. Like, it's all just a scam to get your money. That's all it is. That's all it is. Ain't none of these products going to give you any real results, Ariel. It's a scam.
Could I ask, like, what's your typical day like in terms, and not when you're, you know, about to fight on fight week, but maybe a month or so ago. What are you eating? What are you putting in your body? I'm fascinated by this in terms of liquids and food. Like, what's your typical day like?
It just depends on what state of the training camp I'm in. I did natural grass-fed beef all training camp. Shout out to Radish, my food prep company that sponsors me. Now we're 2 weeks out. We're doing nothing but fish. Shout out to Slapfish, hooking it up with the best fish in the country all day, every day. Fish, I'm slimy right now, I'm eating so much fish. Slimy. And alkaline Kangen 9.5 water. You know the secret, Ariel.
Oh,
don't you got a machine?
I actually don't know the secret.
You want one, you buy one from me.
Alkaline water. What's the difference?
I'm not actually on the hustle.
Right.
Like, I don't got time for it.
Sure.
But the water machine, Kangen 9.5, you probably heard about it, alkaline water.
Sure.
Real machine from, it's legit. And I've had it for about 7-8 years now, and I don't drink anything else.
Okay. And so you say you're 174 right now, right, on the Monday of fight week. Your opponent, Michel Pajeda, is a big guy. Missed weight his last fight, right? Any concerns about how much bigger he's going to be than you come fight night?
I'm not concerned. You know, I seen him on his Instagram running sprints and with plastics on. I was doing that when I was 25, too. And you know what? I went into some fights with some sore-ass legs.
Mm.
I didn't have that quickness. I didn't have that speed. I went into some fights not feeling good. And this guy's thinking his size and his reach is going to make a difference. Well, you know what? He might feel all right now on Monday. But when you're pulling water out on Monday, come on, man. You know, all I got to say is he better make weight. You know, he better make weight or we're going to have to cancel the fight. I'll take my show money and on to the next one because I'm too valuable. I'm too valuable to myself to be disrespected like that. If he can't make weight, the fight is off.
Mm. Even by 1 pound, you're not having it.
Fight is off. If he can't make weight, the fight is off. That's it. I'm 38 years old, man. I'm 35 fights into the UFC. I'm on my last run, Ariel. Like I'm already fighting giants.
Right.
I'm already proving a point that we don't have to cut weight to be successful. This guy needs to make weight, and that it is what it is. Or he could take his ass back to Brazil with no money.
Mm. All right. I appreciate you you laying down the hammer. Josh, since you're sitting there, I just want to ask, is there anything you want to add to what Diego had to say?
Well, I think yourself being in media, you have to notice how interesting you started the conversation by saying yourself and repeating that Diego is suspended. And this just goes to show you how quickly someone's legacy can be tarnished just by people not doing their due diligence. And if this is what's happening with the media, and we have over 95% of all the articles written saying suspended, very few media spaces are going to allow Diego or anyone else to set the record straight. And, you know, this man has done enough, I would think, in his career. So I think it's more interesting, why is nobody asking, how many times is Piera being tested? How many times is anyone else being tested? I mean, we know of the blockchain system of security. Why are we not in an open market of understanding who, when, and where everybody else is being tested? Because I'd find it very interesting if Diego's been tested more than any other welterweights, or at least any other competition that he's had this year. Wouldn't you think that would be interesting, Ariel?
Yeah, I think that's interesting. Although I do want to say something in response to what you just said. I mean, I feel like you're saying that I'm painting him with the wrong brush. I feel like we're playing semantics here. Sanction, suspension. I'm looking at the wording right now. They use sanction. He has accepted a 3-month sanction for a violation of the UFC anti-doping policy after testing positive for prohibited substance. I have a lot of respect for Diego, and I understand each and everything that he just said. But let's not play semantics. Like, come on. I mean, a 3-month retroactive suspension, in my opinion, is the exact same thing as a 3-month retroactive sanction, if we're being honest with ourselves. I think you're focusing on the wrong thing. Don't pin this on the media. I think everything that Diego just said was 100% correct. The supplement industry is at fault here. Don't pin it on the media. Come on. That's a bit of a cop-out.
No. I'm just saying, if people are going to be saying stuff so quickly, that one word matters when we have people making comments that they think the fight is not happening because nobody's going to read past the word suspended.
Sure, and that's a problem with society, right? That's not a problem with media. I mean, looking at the article that we put on ESPN.com, it clearly states that this will not preclude him from fighting. Now, we're talking about people with short attention spans. I agree with you 100%. And that's why the first thing I asked Diego was, can you fight? Are you good to fight? Yes, great. And we want to get the truth out about it. So I get what you're saying, but the bigger issue is not about that. It's about supplements.
Calm down, Ariel.
This isn't
no attack towards you. Listen, this is an attack towards me. I'm talking about the millions of people who Google the name Diego Sanchez and what comes up. I'm talking about my future. If I'm going to get a sponsorship, if I'm going to go do a motivational speech
100%.
For kids at a school, and the people, they research me and all they see is suspension. 25 articles that say Diego Sanchez suspended for ostering that I did not take. That's all that these websites are putting out. So understand, man, my life is at bay now. My survival to be able to provide for my little daughter is being affected by the media putting out the word suspension when they never told me I was suspended. They never told me that word. USADA never, ever said the word suspension to me, Ariel. They said you are – when they even – I can send a letter to you.
No, I believe you.
Letter that I signed.
I believe you 100%.
Are you going to accept a three-month sanction? And that is the right word that should be put out in the media. They should do their due diligence, and it should be correct, because if it was the word sanction, would that affect my future? No, it wouldn't.
I understand.
I would still be good.
And Diego, that's why I asked you.
Like a steroid user, Ariel. It makes me look like a steroid user. Really.
I know, and that's why I asked you how you're handling it, and because your reputation has been so important to you, if you felt like this was a major blow. That's why I sympathize with you and why I wanted to have you on the show. And I think everything that you said about supplements is something that we've heard from other fighters. We just had Jessica Penne on talking about a similar thing a couple of weeks ago, and we've had Yoel Romero. So I get what you're saying. In the end, the good news for you at least is that it was just this three-month sanction. You're able to fight in your home state, and you're able to prove to everyone that you are a clean athlete. And I think the message that you put out to all the young fighters is 100% on point. It's better to just not take any supplements, and I think that's what USADA has said as well. Unfortunately, we're out of time, Diego. I hate to cut it short, but I appreciate you guys coming on and telling your side of the story, and I wish you nothing but the best on Saturday.
I appreciate it, man. Nothing but love for you, Ariel.
Thank you.
And I'm telling you straight, man, that the company that was putting out these supplements is still putting out these supplements, and they're tainted. And they're continuing to sell these to young children, 17 and 18-year-olds. Little girls are taking steroids, bro. Little girls, think about that, Ariel.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Think about a little 17-year-old girl who thinks she don't have a big enough butt, or she thinks she's fat, and she's taking a supplement off the internet. And the people who put these supplements out, they are already in trouble. They have already been caught several times, and they're still selling them. So this is wrong, and there will be legal proceedings going forward.
Okay. Good luck, Diego. Thank you, Josh, as well. Good luck to you guys on Saturday. Looking forward to the fight against Michelle Pajeda, the co-main event on Saturday's UFC Rio Rancho card. The main event features Corey Anderson against Jan Blachowicz, a very important fight in the 205-pound division. And like I said at the top of the show, it's always good when you have a title fight and then the following week you have a potential number one contender fight. And so now let's go back to New Mexico and say hello to the man who hails from Poland, fighting in the main event this Saturday on ESPN Plus, the one and only Jan Blachowicz, kind enough to join us. Jan, how are you, my friend?
Hi, I'm good. And you?
I'm doing really well. So I have to ask you first, did you watch the main event on Saturday between John Jones and Dominic Reyes?
Yes, of course. I have to watch it.
And who do you think won?
Listen, I think John Jones won the fight.
Do you remember what you scored?
We together with three of my coaches, and all together say the same, that we think that John won the fight. That was a really close fight, but Jones was a little bit better.
Do you remember how you scored the fight?
No, I don't. If you want me to score the fight, so I have to watch it one more time. No?
I understand.
I watch and enjoy the show.
Were you rooting for John to win that fight because you want to be the man to beat him?
Maybe.
I would do the same. I would understand that.
Yeah, maybe this is the reason. But, three of my coaches say the same. So I think he does a little bit more than Dominic.
Well, what did you think of his performance overall, John's performance? Were you impressed with how he, you know, came back in the later rounds? Did you not think he was impressive? How would you describe his performance?
You know, I think that he's the same fighter, but I tell you that we are just better, you know. We start to be on his level, you know. He is not, we start to catch him, you know. And this is the reason why every next fight gonna be worse for him, you know.
You think he's slowing down?
I don't know. He's not slowing down. We just going up.
Ah, okay. When you watch him fight, do you think to yourself, oh, this is what I would do, this is where he's leaving openings, these are his weaknesses? Do you look at it like that when you're watching him fight?
No, right now I'm focused about the core, you know, but I think I know I've got the way how to beat the John Jones.
Oh, can you...
I think I have to beat the core.
Can you share that with us? How do you beat John Jones?
No, it's secret, no top secret. I show you in the fight if I get the title shot.
But you see weaknesses in his game.
Yeah, I see the, you know, how to say it. I see the holes when I can put my, you know, fist, my leg.
Do you think that what happened on Saturday was good or bad for you? In other words, now that people are calling for an immediate rematch, Dominic's calling for it, it was somewhat controversial. Does this give you some concern that maybe they'll go back to him as opposed to the winner of your fight?
I hope so. Not going to be the rematch. I hope so the... after Saturday, me or Corey, I believe that's going to be me, going to be the next pretender for title shot.
Do you feel like you have to do something spectacular in this fight? Now, anytime you fight, right, you want to win, right? I mean, they're all very important. But because how close that fight was and because people are calling for an immediate rematch, do you have to get a finish, do something spectacular to now move yourself ahead of Dominic Reyes?
Yeah, I
will.
In this fight, yeah, in Saturday. I have to own, you know, in good way after a good fight. And the best for me will be knock out the Corey. And I'm going to looking this kind of win.
When you were offered this fight, how did you feel about it? Because I know that you were trying to get the John Jones fight as well. And this is a rematch of a fight that you lost several years ago, 2015, I believe. Were you happy with at least, all right, if I can't get the title fight, at least I could fight someone who I fought before?
No, this is one of these rematch and I can, you know, I would like to have it. And I got it and I'm really happy because I lost a couple of fights. But this one, you know, it's in my head all the time because I know that when we fight together 5 years ago, that was one of my worst shape ever. You know, I feel really bad after 2 minutes of the fight. I was completely exhausted, you know. And now I want to prove Corey that he will have a lot of lucky in our first fight.
Why were you in such bad shape for that fight? What was going on?
I think that was, you know, overtrain. I don't explain myself, you know, but I think that it was overtrain and jet lag. Now I'm, you know, in Rio Rancho more than 2 weeks, so I feel great. No jet lag. You know, my cardio is amazing, so I'm going to be ready.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
That was, you know, just my mistake in my training camp.
I was wondering why you were there so early. I know the elevation is very impactful, so it's good to get there early. So you said you've been there 2 weeks now, or by the time the fight happens, it will have been 2 weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks. I'm here. Two weeks I'm here in Rio Rancho.
Okay. And how's the elevation?
Elevation is almost 2,000 meters. I don't know how many feet is it.
Yeah.
But almost 2,000 meters. So, you know, when I come here, so I feel the difference, you know.
And how long did it take for you to get used to it?
12 days, something like this, 10 days.
But now you feel good.
Now I feel good. I sleep very well. You know, I do last sparring I make here in Rio Rancho and was really good, you know, good rounds. So, yeah, my breath is perfect.
Corporate Jake telling me, by the way, 6,600 feet. So that's pretty significant, Rio Rancho, you know? I know the meter is European, but I wanted to give you the feed in case it came up in conversation. A lot of Polish people in Rio Rancho?
No, I don't meet anyone.
Nothing? Any Polish restaurants?
The people are really nice here, you know? And food is really great.
Any Polish restaurants?
I don't see.
No, I didn't think so. They're
just
very
me and my team from Poland.
They're very into the chili over there. You know, the green and the red chili. Have you tried that?
I don't try. They say me that I have to try after the fight.
Oh, interesting.
Before fight, you know.
Why after the fight?
You know, I will try after the fight. I will tell you.
Okay, fair enough. I like that. And I saw, I think on your Instagram, correct me if I'm wrong, did you go to a barber shop there in New Mexico to get a cleanup? And I'm wondering, what's the difference between Polish barbershop and American barbershop?
No, in Polish barbershop, then my barbershop in Poland is here just 20 minutes and I was done. You know, in Poland, 1 hour.
Oh.
And he was a little bit cheaper.
In Poland, they're cheaper or here, they're cheaper?
Oh, here.
Oh, interesting. Cheaper. How did you feel?
Good, you know, I saved money.
yeah, that's good. But were you happy with the cut?
Yeah, I sent picture to my fiance and she said, whoa, good job. Like, I'm like, in Thursday I will go again to this barber.
Oh, I like it. Get a little cleanup. You know, one thing that we've been talking about on the show today, Jan, and I wanted to get your take on it. I've been asking a lot of the guests how they feel about the idea of open scoring. In essence, what that is, if you're in a fight, right, let's say this Saturday you're fighting Corey Anderson and it goes all five rounds. At the end of every round, they tell you who won the round. So the whole world knows, okay, round one over, 10-9 Jan. Round second over, 10-9 Corey. And so you know going into the fifth if you're up or if you're down. As you know in MMA, we don't know who's up or who's down until the very end, until the conclusion of the fight. How do you feel about this? Do you like this idea or do you like the way it is right now?
I don't think about this. No, I don't know.
No idea. Nothing. No take on
no
it
idea.
Whatsoever.
No take. No, when I'm defied and coach says me everything, you know, you lost the round. Now you have to, you know, push more. We're losing the fight. You win the fight, keep it going, you know, and stuff like this. So I don't care what the referee after the fight, you know, if fight go on the decision.
Sure.
I care about the referee decision, yeah.
Sure, but it's good to know, right? You want to know if you're up or you're down, right?
Yeah, that's good to know because you know to what to do. You know, you need to do a little bit more or you can just, you know, keep like this and that's it.
Okay, fair enough. Did they tell you before this fight was officially announced or when it was officially announced, you win this fight, you're getting a title shot? Has that ever been said to you?
Yeah, this is, they say something like this, but you know, you never know what's going to happen.
Sure. Okay, but that's good.
After that fight, I'm going to be the next pretender for titles.
All right. Wow. That's good to get that kind of guarantee from the company.
If I don't sign contract, I can't say nothing, you know?
Sure. Of course. And do you subscribe to the idea that Corey has gotten a lot better? His last fight, he looked amazing against Johnny Walker. Do you think he's gotten a lot better since you fought him, you know, 4.5 years ago?
He's different fighter. I'm different fighter. So, but this time I'm gonna be ready for his, you know, for everything what he got. Because this time my cardio will be great.
All right, I look forward to it, Jan. Thank you very much. And by the way, I see a lot of people, or I hear a lot of people pronouncing your name many different ways. Tell us officially, how do you pronounce your last name, Jan?
Błachowicz. Yes.
So it's a Błachowicz. It's the BL is like a W, Błachowicz.
It's like we say we.
We.
Not we, yeah.
Yeah. Błachowicz. How'd I do? Pretty good?
Good. You can do this.
All right. We'll do it. I look forward to it. Jan, thank you so much. Can't wait for the fight. It's going to be a great one this Saturday on ESPN Plus. Thank you for coming on the show
thank
on
you.
This Monday, and good luck to you on Saturday. All right, there he is. Poland's own Jan Błachowicz. Did I do that right? Błachowicz? Not Błachowicz. 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 It's fun to do the BLW. Błachowicz. 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 Anyhow, Corey Anderson against Jan Błachowicz this Saturday, Rio Rancho, Santa Ana, Star Center again. Second time the UFC actually... I misspoke. Second time, Zuffa goes to Rio Rancho. Diego Sanchez, Michel Pajeda. You see Devin Clark. I saw him in action at Jackson Wink. Brock Weaver, I'm looking forward to that. Also, Lando Venata against Yancy Medeiros. That's going to be a lot of fun. So that goes down this Saturday. Montana De La Rosa. Hey, interesting. That's the only, actually, there's two fights featuring two ranked opponents. You see the Montana De La Rosa fight. So that's the fight on Saturday. Like I said, February of 2008 was the first time that Zuffa held an event there. That was Carlos Condit against Carlo Prater and Jamie Varner against Razor Rob McCullough. Now here they are, 12 years to the week, almost to the day. They're back. February 13, 2008 was that event, and now they're going back on Saturday night, the 15th of February. All right. One more guest to go. You know, we've had, it essentially at this point, almost every single big-name fighter on the planet on this program, dating back to our debut back in 2009, in the AOL days. We've never had the Korean Zombie, an absolute legend of the game, Chan Sung-jung, on the show. That changes in a matter of seconds. But first, as you may recall, last week on the show, the reigning defending UFC men's featherweight champion, Alexander Volkanovsky, had some choice words for the Korean Zombie. Here's what he had to say.
Zombie. If he thinks he can do what he done to Frankie, well, do that to me, what he done to Frankie, he's dreaming. You know, you come at me like that, you know, he's, yeah, that's too many openings for me. I'll put him to sleep. I really will. So he wants to come aggressively like that to me. Yeah, I'll be sleeping him like a year did. So again, you know, I don't like to talk like that, but at the same time, you know what I mean? He wants to play the big boy. You know, I'll be happy to put him in his place come fight time.
Ooh. And look at that. Alexander Volkanovsky. Since then, Korean Zombie posting some things on social media regarding Mr. Volkanovsky on Instagram and Twitter. Now let's say hello to the one and only, the Korean Zombie himself, Chan Sung-jung, and he's being joined by his translator today, Jay Park, who I understand is some kind of media sensation over there in Korea. Thank you so much to both of you for coming on.
Hey, what's up, Ariel?
Hey, what's up, my man? And being joined by his coach, Eddie Cha, as well. Guys, it's great to have you on. Thank you very much. Chan, tell me about what you thought when you heard Volkanovsky say what he said about you last week on the show, because it seemed to have bothered you. You posted a couple things on social media. Here we go. Are you feeling like you're close to a fight now because of what he said?
그러니까 저번 주에 볼카노프스키가 이렇게 에리어 호환란 쇼에서 나와서 이렇게 한 얘기들 들었죠.
예, 들었죠. 너무 웃겨요.
들었죠. 그는 그래서 이제 그 인스타그램으로 이제 그 답변을 했잖아. 그러면 이제 그 시합이 잡힐 것 같은지.
네, 저는 볼카노프스키랑 싸우고 싶어요. I love you. I wanna fight you.
Yeah, I mean he wants Volkanovski. That's the fight he wants right now.
Okay. And do you feel like he is disrespecting you? He's not a big trash talker, but what he said over there, you know, he doesn't like people coming after him like that. Do you feel like he's disrespecting you or looking past you, telling you to go fight someone else? What do you make of what he had to say about you, saying, you know, you should be active and trying to fight other people before coming to me?
이제 볼카노프스키 나랑 싸우기 전에 먼저 다른 사람이랑 이겨서 이렇게 싸워서 이겨라. 그러면 약간 그런 말들이 약간 찬성 씨를 약간 좀 무시하거나 좀 의심하는 것 같은지.
아니요, 걔도 저한테 저랑 싸우고 싶으니까 제 얘기를 계속 하고 있는 것 같아요. 걔도 뭐 저를 원하지 않나 생각하고 있어요.
So even though Volkanovsky is saying that, the reason why he's continually mentioning Zombie is because, you know, he wants that fight as well. He's interested in fighting Zombie.
Mm. Now, how is your eye? Because I understand, I saw on your Instagram you had to go get your eye checked out. What is wrong with the eye and how is it feeling?
뭐 지금 눈 어떤지 뭐 약간 뭐 문제가 있는 건지 눈에.
내가 이제 수요일에 이제 마지막으로 의사를 만나거든요. 그 의사를 만나서 결정할 것 같아요. 근데 지금까지 얘기로는 큰 수술은 아니라고 얘기하고 있어요. 볼카노프스키가 준비되면 저는 싸울 수 있습니다.
Okay, so right now Zombie is actually he's in the States. So he saw a few doctors in Korea, and you know, they basically said, you know, they don't see anything wrong. So he went to the States to get it checked further, and the latest checkup is on Wednesday. So after Wednesday, he'll find out, you know, but they told him that he doesn't need any big surgery, so that whenever Volkanovski is ready to fight, Zombie's ready to fight.
Okay. But did they say like what the issue is with the eye?
So he has a checkup on Wednesday. So okay. After Wednesday, he'll know for sure. Yeah.
All right. And is he worried that this will preclude him from fighting in the relative, you know, near future? Is this going to be a serious thing that might need surgery, or he's not worried about that?
그러니까 그 이게 큰 수술이 필요할지 걱정되는지, 그래서 수술하면 이제 못 이제 당분간 못 싸울지 그게 약간 좀 걱정되는지.
아직까지는 그렇게 큰 수술은 아니라고 계속 얘기를 듣고 있어서 뭐 별로 문제 없을 것 같아요. 뭐 큰 수술은 항상 겪어왔던 거고 저는 할 수 있습니다.
So what the doctors have been saying is that he they don't think that he'll need a big surgery so that he'll be able to fight, and he's not worried at as well because he's used to, you know, having these surgeries. So he said he'll be back in no time.
Okay, I know the UFC is planning a show in Australia in June. That would make a lot of sense for Volkanovski to fight there. How do you feel about going to Australia to fight Volkanovski there?
그러니까 여름에 그 호주에서 UFC 이벤트 약간 할 거라고 하는데 거기서 이제 볼카노프스키랑 싸우는 게 어떤지.
네, 저는 anywhere.
Anywhere. I got that. I understood that. And so you're now in America. You're in Arizona. I know you're there with Eddie Chan. You've trained with Captain Eric as well. Why did you decide to go train in America recently?
그러니까 그 이제 에디차 코치님이랑 캡틴 에릭 코치님이랑 파이트 레디랑 왜 약간 이제 같이 함께 하기로 했는지 미국에서.
여기 팀이 일단 세계 최고 수준이라고 생각을 하고 있고, 나는 이렇게 미국을 많이 와봤지만 여기처럼 잘 가르치는 곳은 본 적이 없어요.
So he thinks that Fight Ready Eddie Cha and Eddie Cha coach and Captain Eric coach is a world class, and he's even though he's been to the States a lot, he's never, you know, experienced a fight camp that's taught him so well before.
Okay, and so is this what you're going to keep doing from now on? You're going to go to Arizona to train for all your fights?
그러니까 앞으로 이제 시합 준비할 때 계속 애리조나 파이트 레디에서 할 건지.
네, 나는 여기서 준비 못하면 이제 시합 못할 것 같아요.
Yeah, he said if he doesn't, you know, if he doesn't do the camp at Fight Ready, then he's not going to be ready to fight.
Okay, yeah. I mean, the name would suggest that. And, you know, right. Your story is a fascinating one, Chan, because, you know, since 2011, I believe off the top of my head, you've only fought six times. And of course, you had the mandatory military service in between, but you've also had a number of injuries that have sort of stunted your growth. This eye issue, notwithstanding, do you feel like you're kind of past that point in your career where your body is breaking down on you? Do you feel like you need to make up for lost time and that you're going to be healthy now for a long time?
그러니까 2011년부터 딱 이제 현재까지 6번밖에 안 싸웠잖아요. 그리고 이제 그 군대도 갔기 때문에 공백 기간도 있었고, 그러면 이제 약간 몸이 계속 이제 그러니까 못 싸워가지고 뭔가 이제 이제 자주 싸워야지, 싸울 수 있을 때 자주 싸워야지 이제 건강 앞으로 계속 건강할 것 같은지.
내가 그때부터 많이 싸우지 않았기 때문에 그 당시에 이제 내가 지금 건강하게 지금 싸워볼 수 있다고 생각을 하고 있거든요. 지금부터 이제 시작인 것 같아요.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so basically he's saying that, you know, he feels like his career is starting right now, that he's healthy, he's ready to go, that he's feeling at, you know, tip-top condition, tip-top shape, basically.
On Saturday night in Houston, Dan Ige won his fifth straight, and afterwards he said, I like to take the soul of my opponent, and so I might as well fight someone without a soul, a zombie, if you will. He said he wanted to fight you. How do you feel about that call out? I thought it was a little, you know, I thought it was a little entertaining. It was very creative on his part. But is this something that if you can't get Volkanovski, that you would be interested in?
그러니까 이번에 휴스턴에서 UFC 이벤트 했잖아요. 그 데니 이게이가 싸워가지고 이겼어요. 근데 이제 그 끝나고 나서 조 로건이랑 인터뷰할 때 데니 이게이가 나는 이제 내 상대방의 영혼을 뺏는 게 좋아한다. 그래서 나는 영혼 없는 사람이랑 싸우고 싶다. 그래서 좀비랑 싸우고 싶다라고 하는데 만약에 볼커넙스키랑 못 싸우면 데니 이게랑 싸울 약간 그런 생각이 있는지.
I don't know who he is.
Oh, you never heard of him?
뭐 메인 레이스 존 존스 파이트밖에 못 봤다고.
Yeah, he didn't see, he only saw the main event, John Jones and Dominic Reyes.
Okay, all right, so he's not well aware. By the way, Zombie, your English is getting better. Can you now speak fluently or at least converse with people in America?
이제 그 영어가 많이 늘었는데 이제 미국에서 약간 좀 대화나 이런 게 좀 되는지.
저 혼자 와서 이제 살 수 있을 정도인데요. 사람들이랑 눈을 보고는 이제 말은 통해요. 근데 여기는 좀 이렇게 말하면 안 되니까. I'll try.
Yeah, so he's saying that he can, you know, look you in your eyes and have a conversation, carry on a conversation.
Wow. It's impressive. You've come a long way. Also, how do you feel about the UFC entertaining the idea of doing Holloway Volkanovski 2 right away after that last fight? Are you concerned that because maybe Holloway is a big name and he was champion for a long time that they're going to go to him as opposed to going to you?
그러니까 이제 볼코노프스키랑 할로웨이 싸웠잖아요. 근데 바로 리매치 약간 할 것 같은데 만약에 이제 할로웨이가 더 약간 좀 큰 스타고 더 약간 좀 관심 많은 선수라서 그 경기를 약간 좀 할로웨이한테 줄지 약간 좀 걱정되는지 약간 궁금해하고 있어요.
응. Nobody wants to see that fight again. Volkanovski's fighting style is so boring.
Whoa.
Yeah, I don't think I need to translate that.
Wow, I didn't expect that. You think he's a boring fighter? Why?
He's where 약간 뒤로 가냐?
Boring이 되고.
마지막 두 경기를 보면 알잖아요. 그 할로웨이랑 알도랭 할 때 그 경기는 진짜 재미없었어요. 근데 저는 라스트 투 파이트를 넉아웃으로 이겼으니까.
So if you compare the last two fights, Volkanovski fought Aldo and Holloway, and those fights were not that entertaining. And if you look at Zombie's last two fights, both of them were round one, you know, KOs. So,
right.
I mean, that just speaks for itself.
Wow, okay. And you're not impressed? 18 wins in a row, beating Aldo, beating Holloway. This doesn't impress you at all?
그러니까 18 연승이고, Aldo도 이겼고, Holloway 이겼는데 약간 그게 약간 좀... 인정하지 않은지.
그렇게 재미없게 싸워서 이길 것 같으면 저는 파이트 안 하고 있어요.
So if he said if you're gonna put on boring fights, then he doesn't even want to be a fighter.
Oh my. And what about this idea? He said if you're gonna rush me like you rush Frankie Edgar, you're gonna get knocked out.
그러니까 만약에 그 에드거처럼 좀비 씨가 이제 압박을 그렇게 그런 식으로 할 거면. 자기가 이제 좀비 씨를 KO 시킨다 이런 말에 대해서 어떻게 약간 생각하냐고.
뭐 에드가가 더 어려운 상대일 것 같아요. 걔는 뭐 똑같아요. 저한테는 easy for me.
So he basically said that Edgar is a far more difficult opponent for Zombie than Volkanovski, and for Zombie, Volkanovski is basically easy opponent.
Come on, Frankie Edgar, more difficult than the champion himself? Won 18 in a row? How could that be?
프랭키 에고가 어떻게 챔피언보다 더 이제 어렵냐고. 이렇게 지금 워크나프스키는 7-8연승인데.
지금 프랭키 무시하는 거냐고. 프랭키는 포머 챔피언이었고 두 타임.
So he said Frankie Edgar was a former champion and basically he's a legend. So I mean you can't take anything away from Frankie.
Sure. And you don't feel like his power is a threat, right? You feel like Volkanovski doesn't have any power in his hands. If your Instagram and Twitter is any indication, I gather that's how you feel.
그럼 Volkanovski의 파워가 그럼 약간 이제 신경 안 쓰이는 거죠. Volkanovski가 약간 좀 펀치력이 별로 안 센 것 같다고 약간 물어보네요.
네, 뭐 펀치력이 아무리 세도 그거는 이제 맞추질 못하면 의미가 없다고 생각하거든요. 저한테 그 펀치는 못 맞출 거예요.
So he's saying that even if your, you know, your hands are powerful, if you can't hit your opponent, then it doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean anything. So he's not going to be able to hit Zombie.
Can I suggest that you post more on social media, Zombie, because you're very entertaining. Your tweets and Instagram, I think we need to see more from you.
너무 재밌대.
그러니까 그 SNS를 인스타그램에서 약간 좀 더 약간 좀 도발하고 좀 더 포스팅 해달라고 이런 식으로 약간 되게 재밌고 보기 좋다고.
오케이, 제가 영어 공부를 좀 더 해서 영어로 좀 많이 하겠습니다.
Yeah, he said he's gonna study English more and he will post just for you, Ariel.
Oh, I appreciate that. And can I ask about this friendship here? Because Jay, you know, I'm sorry, I don't speak Korean, but I understand you're a big deal. You've hosted Korea's Got Talent. You have over 3 million Instagram followers, over 1 million on Twitter. You're a Korean rapper. Is that accurate?
Yeah. I mean, so yeah, I you know, am a singer, rapper, and I also own, you know, a couple labels out here, and we manage Zombie out here.
Oh.
So that's, and yeah, I'm a very avid MMA fan. I watch a show every week.
Oh wow. Okay. So are you in Korea right now?
Yes, I'm in Korea right now. It is actually 6 a.m. in the morning.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you for doing this at this hour.
No, this is just for Zombie.
Absolutely. Now, how did you meet Chan Sung Jung?
So I've been going to his gym for about 5 years now. And so that's how we met initially.
Okay. And Chan, are you a fan of Jay's music? Do you listen to his music as well?
Is it... 나의 팬인지 나의 음악을 듣는지
항상 J-pop 노래만 틀어놓고 있어요.
So he's saying he only listens to or he listens to my music a lot. But let me add something. Before you know, I went to his gym. He didn't listen to my music.
Oh, okay.
That's,
well,
not cap.
He's a good friend. Now you come out to, you know, the infamous Cranberry song, right, Zombie. But I feel like now you have to come out to your bud's music. Right? I mean, that only makes sense.
그러니까 등장 음악 원래 이제 계속 좀비로 했는데 이제 약간 좀 우리 음악으로 등장해야 되는 게 약간 좀 맞지 않냐 이렇게 물어보고 있어요.
제가 계속 만들어 달라고 했는데 안 만들어 주잖아요. 만들어 주세요.
그 뭐지? Okay, so he said, yeah, like he's told us to, you know, make him some entrance music, but we haven't been. But in our defense, so basically. He asked, you know, the UFC if he could, you know, change his entrance music, and the UFC said, "Yo, that you know, that entrance music you have is so epic that you shouldn't change it."
I agree. You know what else was epic? Your initial T-shirt that you had back in the day. We need to somehow bring that back. I know they don't let you do it with the Reebok deal, but even if you sell it on your own, you gotta get behind that. I mean, that shirt was one of the greatest shirts in the history of the sport.
그러니까 예전 좀비 티 있잖아요. 예전 좀비 티 약간 이제 다시 팔았으면 좋겠다고 약간 그게 약간 진짜 그 이런 MMA계 MD 중에 머츠 중에 약간 최고였다고 그거 다시 좀 팔았으면 좋겠다고.
이제 AOMG 회사에서 이미 팔고 있어요. 근데 다음에 만약에 또 제작을 하게 되면 또
지금 그거 없어요? 아, 없어요?
네네.
없어요 지금? 지금 없어요? 우리 없어요?
지금 없어요. 저는 없어요.
아, 그러니까. So basically he said, yeah, so, you know, AOMG is our the company that, you know, that manages him basically out in Korea. And so we created new designs and that kind of goes with the old designs as well. And we are selling t-shirts and hoodies right now. He's wearing the t-shirt right now.
Oh, okay. All right. I like that. You're keeping it going. So in conclusion, please go ahead.
We will send you a shirt and a hoodie.
Oh, thank you. That's not why I asked, but I appreciate it very much. I used to have the old school one, the first one from back in the day. In conclusion, what is your message to Alexander Volkanovsky?
이제 약간 좀 마무리를 해서 정리하자면 이제 볼코노프스키한테 어떤 메시지를 전달하고 싶은지.
Volkanovsky, I love you. Yeah, I want to fight you. If Volkanovski is not ready to fight. I want to fight Holloway.
Oh, wow. Okay. Because he has the hand. I was going to ask you if he's not ready, Ortega, because you were supposed to fight him in December, but you're saying, no, I'm moving on. I want to fight Holloway if he's not ready.
Yes.
그러니까, 원래는 Ortega랑 싸우기를 했었는데, 그냥 Ortega는 이제 약간 배제하고, 이제 만약에 Volkanovski 안 되면 Holloway랑 싸우고 싶은지.
오르테가, 할로웨이 다 괜찮은데 오르테가는 이미 저한테 한번 도망갔어요. 뭐 그런 애를 제가 굳이 잡고 싶진 않아요. 저는 가능하면 할로웨이랑 싸우고 싶어요.
So he said, you know, it doesn't matter Holloway, Volkanovski, Ortega, but Ortega already ducked him one time. So he doesn't, you know, he doesn't need to fight a fighter that's ducking him already.
Dang, I didn't know Zombie had this in him. This is great stuff. This is some good trash talk.
I didn't know he had it in me either. This is the first time I'm seeing this. This is kind of crazy.
This is amazing. I like it. It's the American way, just infiltrating his mind. I love it. Well, guys, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it. I hope for your sake that you get what you want next. Jay, thank you for helping us out as well. Best of luck to you. It's great to meet you. And Eddie as well, great job over there in the corner. You were there in spirit with us. You helped us out. You were a good presence behind behind Zombie. And Korean Zombie, so great to have you on the show, my man. It's been a long time, and I really enjoyed this. So thank you for the time as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Yes, sir. Korean Zombie, 2020 first Korean champ. Let's get it, man. Hey, Korean Zombie, Team Zombie. Rah.
I love it. Wow. This was amazing. Who would have thought? Only on this program do you get that kind of access. I mean, it's unbelievable. Wow. That was fun, right? When I told Corporate Jake about this, he's like, you know, we're too corporate. We can't have this sort of thing. You know,
now
multiple people.
You're lying.
He was all nervous about it.
You're lying to the people.
And look at that. That was gold right there. Incredible. All nervous and everything. Look what happened. When will you stop doubting me? Remember ZipRecruiter? What did they say? Hiring good help is challenging. Oh, all right. I think we're out of time. Have we said enough? Have we done enough? I think we've said enough and we've done enough on today's program. Got an update about the French situation, the French Sports Ministry's decision to regulate MMA. On Friday, as part of the recognition process for MMA in France, the Ministry of Sports held a press conference alongside the French Boxing Federation to confirm that they will be the federation entrusted with the development of MMA in France. UFC is delighted with this major step for the development of MMA in France. All right. Following an announcement to regulate MMA in France by the Ministry of Sports in September of 2019, a tender was launched to decide which federation would develop the sport if it were to be officially recognized. So it seems like they found said recognition. UFC will closely follow the next steps of the recognition process. All right. So it doesn't seem like it's 100% just yet, but perhaps an event coming our way in lovely France. Vive la France. That would be cool for Ngannou and some of the other fighters hailing from France, Cyril Gagne. Maybe they could bring back Czech Congo as well. For now, though, we are out of time. Thank you very much to all of you. This has been a very fun show. UFC 247 in the books. In the end, Johnny Bones retains, makes history. 14th UFC title fight victory, 18th in a row as far as his unbeaten streak. What's next? Dominic Reyes, Jan Błachowicz, Corey Anderson, heavyweight, Israel Adesanya. Did we get an update on that poll, or is it too late?
Nope. Yeah, it's too late.
All right, it's too late. I checked it a few minutes ago, and it was very much in favor. I think it was like 46% for Dominic Reyes. So we'll see what happens there. For now, though, thank you very much to James Krause. All the best to him. Thank you very much to Derek Lewis. Congrats on the win, and certainly hope that whatever he's dealing with turns out to be A-okay. Thank you very much to Valentina Shevchenko. Congratulations to her as well. Thank you very much to Dominic Reyes. Congrats to Mike Winklejohn. Thank you very much and good luck to Diego Sanchez. Thank you very much to Jan Błachowicz. And all the best to the Korean Zombie, Chan Sung Jung. Back next week, same time and place. Until then, I say peace. I'm out of here.
I don't know. It sucks. I came out there and I fought a nearly perfect fight.
What? What did I do?
I don't know, man.
What? You mean you don't trust
me? Today's Monday. I'm feeling like I don't want to trust you today.
I didn't even bring a mouthpiece with me, so I had to go get a mouthpiece molded at 8 that night. I just got Invisalign, so my teeth have moved.
I'm getting A+. You know what? He dug down, and I just posted something John said about embracing the suck. That's what he did.
I love you. I want to fight you.
Because you said... You said you don't trust me no more. Did something happen between us?
I don't know. I just woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning.
Oh, my bad.
Something told me that I shouldn't trust you today.
For that night, I was better than John Jones. I was a better fighter.
Do you have any fears? Does anything bother you?
Of course, because I'm a human. I'm not a robot.
Did you watch pro wrestling in the 80s? Were you a pro wrestling fan?
Not in the 80s, man. I'm not that old, man. God damn.
You're 35.
I'm born in 85.
I think John does just fine heavyweight as well as continue to dominate a light heavyweight. In fact, I think he's going to dominate heavyweight. I'm in John Jones' corner to the end, and I believe he is the greatest of all time. And I don't know if anybody's ever been knock him off or beat that record down the road in the future.
I still was putting it on him, you know? Like, he was forcing me to beat him up in the fourth round.
I think I don't feel like a loser today. You know, I'm talking to you. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like my stock only went up.
Volkanovski's fighting style is so boring.
That's a fair point. By the way, were your shorts too big on you? They seemed like they were giving you some troubles.
Yeah, my shorts is too big, man. I guess I lost a little bit too much weight. Why are you watching my shorts anyway, man? You shouldn't be watching my shorts. Watch my...
Stop.
I'm the deepest champ, man. People saw, everyone who saw that fight knows I won. Apparently the judges weren't watching the fight.